the great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. I'd like you to be turning, if you will, to Romans 8:19. And we are, I'm standing here today and I'm looking out amongst this congregation and I see the sons and daughters of Yahweh, each and every one of you. Romans 8:19 on page 879. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. Now, you know, I've always thought about that, and the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. It's like they're all lined up here, and the curtain opens, and there they are. And that's true to an extent. You know, Pastor said at that point, you know, we'll have power, and this revealing, if you think about that word for a minute, I'd really like to look at this. The revealing. In Strong's, word 602 in the Greek, it says, make information known where it can be understood. Yahweh's doing that at this time through Israel Hawkins, the seventh Malak. He's doing that right now. And we're doing it too, as long as we're doing what this poster says up here. See the posters up front? Learn what to teach and then teach what you've learned. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the re part of revealing is reversal. And the veil part, or pronounced a little more like veil, is to cover. And I thought about the books being sealed until the time of the end at that point, and how the books are, how the book is unsealed now, how the seal has been opened. And the one prophesied to bring forth the truths that people can understand is doing that in these last days. This is the last generation. It also says uncovering truths. And then, you know, you're looking at the word revealing and you have to think about revelation, right? In revelation, there are a lot of truths to be revealed. But yet, nobody could reveal those things, again, until this time of the end, right? So revelation is something revealed, an act of revealing. And these truths are being revealed right now through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program for the world to understand. So they can understand and be part of this great gathering that's taking place at this time. It also means a dramatic disclosure of something not formally known or realized. And the only place doing that on the face of this earth is the house of Yahweh. At this time, in the last generation, by the seventh Malak. Turn to Revelations 10:7, please, for just a moment. Revelations 10:7. On page 977, Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. These secrets have been held secret from science until this time of the end. Remember in 1934, the creation of the nuclear bomb, the creation of all these things were on the way, the creation of the internet. All these things were starting to take place in 1934, when Pastor was born, the last generation, right? But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, that great secret of Yahweh would be finished. And these are the things held secret. But Israel Hawkins is letting them know at this time, it's when the seventh Malak began to sound, these truths started coming forward. The Yahweh revealing these things, revealing the truths to all mankind, revealing the truths of what's going on with the Catholic Church. What I'd like you to do now is we have a treat for you. There's a video that shows some of the missionary work taking place that occurred recently. What I'd like you to realize is that the children are the ones that's bringing this about. The children are the ones that people are listening to. When the children step up in front of a crowd, people stop. There's a calmness that comes over them, and they start listening to these children. I've seen it over and over again, more so here in the past couple months than any other time. And I think everyone in this congregation has seen that too, even from this podium. So take notes, and let's have clip one, please.
Day we're faced with choices. What kind of choice we make, that defines our character.
So you stop what you're doing when you're confronted with a situation of disrespect. You stop what you're doing. Then you think about the situation.
There's always consequences that come for things we do that are negative. And if you do something positive, you get rewards.
Hi, my name is Wendy Ashworth, and I'm an educational aide for Belton Independent School District. These gentlemen came in today and spoke with our campus, which is the DAEP, which is the District Alternative School for our district. And they spoke with us about making peaceful solutions. So I loved the presentation that this group gave to our children today, something that I think as teachers and educators and even employers, we need to be able to teach this to our society and to the people in our society to be able to stop and think about those choices, whether they be positive or negative choices. We need to think about the choices of what's going to happen. If we do this, then this is going to happen. And what we're doing, if we're affecting others around us, if it just affects us, or if it affects others around us also.
Behavioral traits can be changed. Once again, if there's something negative in our lives, we can change it. No one is set to be a negative person their whole life. Everyone is possible for everyone and anyone to change.
As Chris said, they're only making choices based on what they know. And if they don't have this information downloaded in here, how can you, like Jacob said, weigh out your options when you don't even know what your options are, okay, in every situation?
My name is Tristan Rowe. I work for Bell County Juvenile Probation. Peaceful Solutions came today to give us a demonstration on their program. I think the program was very unique, and it offers the kids a different approach and education on how to build character in a positive manner. I think they'll learn some things that will be very beneficial to them, things that they don't get at home. I would really like to consider trying to implement this program in the probation department and seeing if we couldn't also incorporate it into the schools as well. I think if kids had this information brought to them and presented to them, and they were able to educate themselves and others educate them, that it would help them in further altercations or situations where they might be disrespected or something like that, and they could come up with a peaceful solution rather than an angry outburst, which is what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. I would like to thank Israel Hawkins for sending his team to give this presentation today to Bell County Juvenile Services. It was very informative, and we appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Well, the name of it is the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And we teach basic moral principles like respect, self-control, the importance of asking, not to steal.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you how to do those things. Like mm-hmm. most people say, don't steal.
Mm-hmm.
But this program shows you why not to steal and how not to steal.
Mm-hmm. So you all go out and basically minister or visit with kids about making right choices.
Right choices, yes.
And not ministering.
Mm-hmm. Choices that doesn't hurt themselves, mm-hmm. others, or even the environment.
I'm glad you all are here because we have a group of guys. We're going to, I'm going to see if I can't, I'm going to put the high school, and I'm going to see if I can't bring some of the middle school students in.
Uh-huh.
And this would be good. End of the day, it's a tough time of the day. But so, mind you, I don't want you all to be afraid that someone's not listening to you. Don't take it personally. But these are kids that we work with here that we want to be successful. And so I'm glad you all do a drive-by for us.
Right. Yeah, this is what the program's all about, teaching how to make the right choices.
When I was meet this, I hope they would take advantage of it. Thank you.
Thank y'all for coming by and just doing this program for us. Also, probation officers, or maybe I should say Mrs. Severitas and Ms. Lucky, thank y'all for thinking of Wheatley. Because we do need, just visiting with the gentleman earlier, he was telling me lots of things about this program. So, Dr. Moser, I'm glad you're here. This may be something that we might can jump on board on for our kids, because I think our district needs it, and I think we can make it part of our curriculum as Wheatley.
So Peaceful Solutions is a program that teaches you about character education. Everybody in this room, even adults, can use a little character education. We don't always know what to value. We do know what's right, and we choose to do the wrong thing.
That's right.
Am I right? Yeah, okay. So Chris is going to come over here, and he's going to do a presentation with you guys and join him. And I hope that you guys are going to be respectful, participate, and pay attention.
One way that you could show consideration, care, and concern is if someone steps on your foot, or if you accidentally step on someone's foot, you can apologize. That would be showing respect. Or to forgive someone if they do something wrong to you.
The first person you must learn to respect is yourself. Once you learn to respect yourself, then you can go and respect others.
Everyone in this room deserves to be treated in respect, no matter how old you are, how young you are, how tall you are, how short you are. You deserve to be treated with respect.
If you're not harming yourselves, others, possessions and property, or the environment, then you can go ahead and make that choice, because it isn't going to harm someone around you or cause pain, okay?
My name is Carl Pleasant. I am the principal. Today we have Peaceful Solution here. They were awesome. Really like the students, the way that they were able to, regardless what was going on, they were able to just still minister to these kids. And I am so thankful that they came by TISD, Temple Independent School District, Wheatley Alternative Education Center, where kids are here because of their choices. Great today with the stop. Thank y'all and come back.
All of our decisions are based on our character, our choices. And us right now, you know, and our children right now, and children who will want to be tomorrow's leaders, their decisions are going to be based on the character that they develop right now, coming up.
When you weigh out those options, you come out with one that's going to, you know, de-escalate the situation. Not going to add wrong to wrong, because two wrongs don't make a right.
Praise Yahweh. That was awesome. Just real quick, one thing you may not have realized about that video is that all of these classes were alternative classes. These are children that have some issues and have been put in these classes or in school suspension classes. That's something to keep in mind. So the team had a little bit of a different situation this time around in teaching all these alternative classes. By the way, speaking of classes, bring your children to class. Pastor, you know, praise Yahweh. Pastors put a lot of effort into having these classes available for all the children in the house of Yahweh to be part of this. Everyone is a part of it, but to learn to help in this revealing of these truths. So bring your children to class in the morning, bring them in the afternoon, bring them in the evening, and get all you can. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your appointments with Yahweh, okay? And so now, to continue, if you all please stand. To continue this revealing of these truths, this revealing that all creation has been waiting on, I'd like you to listen closely to the great future priest, White Buffalo.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. As you see in the video, there were some schools that were taught, and I was able to go and witness two of them being taught. And so they brought the students that were so, they wanted to listen so much that during the lunchtime, we were able to teach through the lunchtime, and they brought the lunches inside the school so we could continue to teach the students. Praise Yahweh. And you can tell the teachers wanted it really bad, because every time we went in there and every time the students would say something, the teachers would be like, be quiet, listen, pay attention, listen. And so the teachers, they wanted to hear what we had to say. And so there was some things going on, like there was cursing going on and other things, because these were students that they were troubled and things like that. And so the students, one of the things that occurred, there was this one boy, and he went inside the principal's office and he stole a clock. And then he came back in the classroom and he was saying things like, I could use this clock at home, you know, this is a nice clock. I could use this in my bedroom, and things like that. And so even though they have so much security, the boy was able to say he was going to go to the bathroom and come, and he was able to steal this clock from the principal's office. And that's how much security they have. And cops that roam around the school, right? What else could they do? That's why this school needs the peaceful solution. These students need to be taught the peaceful solution, the rights to ownership. And with all this security, this boy was still able to steal a clock. So you can see that the security and things like that that they have in these schools don't solve the problems. But the peaceful solution and character education does solve the problem. There was a teacher that, as you saw, was interviewed, and her name was Wendy Ashworth. And so there was the teacher had a classroom that we were teaching in, and she wasn't there for most of the time. So this teacher put her students on an assignment and came from her classroom to the classroom we were teaching in to monitor the students and listen to what we had to say. And she said that she loved the presentation. And she said that why they were acting up was because we had hit a sore spot. And she was talking about the way that they respond to disrespect. They think that it's okay to fight back and retaliate, but we taught them the peaceful way to do these things. So, in conclusion, you never know when you may be called to go on a missionary trip, but be ready for things to occur. Okay, be ready to teach these people, because we have a very major job to teach the world. And with that, it's a great privilege and honor to turn it over to future priest Marcus Deck Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today my subject is on some of the recent missionary trips, and I'll be continuing to speak on the Belt and School, the DAEP. Now, we were teaching the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program the how to respond to disrespect, and one of the students told us that they got sent there because they didn't do great in school. And like you got told before, all the students we taught were alternative students. And we can see that the children really needed the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, because while we were there, there was a police that came and arrested two of the students. And we can see that also the teachers wanted it really bad, because she said that she loved the program and she would continue telling the students to be quiet and pay attention because they could use it in everyday lives. And so now they have the perfect teaching tools to help these children with the problems that they have. And the teacher said that she was going to continue to remind the students over and over till they get it. And one of the slides, it says, the important thing to remember is that everyone deserves to be treated with respect. And some of the students there, they thought, well, can we disrespect them because they bully us and disrespect us? But no, we can't, because everyone deserves to be treated with respect, no matter how young they are, no matter how old they are, no matter how short they are or how tall they are. Now, some of those students, they weren't showing respect, and they also thought that someone has to give them respect in order for them to give respect back. And while the peaceful solution that how to respond to disrespect is found on from chapter 5 of the Respect Unit, it talks about how to respond to disrespect and simple techniques to use. And the teacher really enjoyed the class, and she said it would be a really great help for the students because they can apply it in their lives, and the peaceful solution is there to help them. And in conclusion, I'd like to say, this world is begging for the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. So be ready to be called at any moment, because not only do we have to teach this whole world, we have to teach the whole universe, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, which is the laws of Yahweh. And with that, everyone please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, future priest Deacon Abba Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'm going to be talking about our job. And our job is to teach the world. Because they're looking for answers, and they're searching for answers, but they don't have any answers for their problems. And it's prophesied for us to teach the world. If you can turn over to Matthew 24 and verse 14. And it says, "And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Okay? So it says the message of the kingdom will be preached. And we are the seed of the witness, Israel Hawkins. We're the seed. Okay, so we're going to go out there and teach. You can turn over to Isaiah 59, and look at verse 21, and it says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit which is upon you, namely my laws, which I have put in your mouth, and they will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, nor from the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from this time and forevermore. So he's going to put the laws into our mouths. So not only into pastor's mouth, but into his seed's mouth. Okay. Remember what pastor said, we're only a seed if we follow his instructions, if we follow the instructions. Okay? And pastor wants teachers. Okay? So we're going to be a seed if we become those teachers that he desires. And he said that he wants everyone in the house of Yahweh to be a teacher. Okay? So, because there's 2 billion people coming. 2 billion people, and not one person cannot do all of that. There has to be many people. As Moshe was told, appoint captains of tens, and captains of hundreds, and captains of thousands. This is how we're going to do it. If you can turn over, because the Apostle Shaul gave us some advice. If you can turn over to 2 Timothy 4, and I'll be doing verse 1, 2, and verse 5. It says, therefore, I charge you before Yahweh and Yahshua Messiah, who will sentence who is to live and who is to die at his appearing and at his kingdom. Okay? Then it says to preach the word, the law, and the prophets. Be instant, ready to take your positions in season and out of season. So whenever they need you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So it says in season and out of season. And then verse 5, he's warning us. And he's saying, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure the tests and trials, because there is going to be tests and trials that come. Okay? So, endure afflictions, and do the work of the preacher of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. Fulfill your ministry. So, be ready in season and out of season. Well, how do you do this? You do it by studying. Okay? You have to study, and you have to know, the books, the peaceful solution. You have to know how, what to teach and how to teach it. And that how you do it is to keep coming to the classes, like the workshops and the speech class. This is how we learn how to teach and be those teachers that pastor wants us to be. So not only we teach by our words, but we also teach by our actions and by our example. Okay? For example, if you steal, you can say not to steal. But if you're stealing, then you're also teaching everyone around you that it's okay to steal. Okay? And then if you steal people's pens and other things, and people see you, you're teaching them that it's okay to steal. So we have to remember that we teach by both our words and our actions. So, as the banner said, to learn what to teach and to teach what we've learned. Okay, this is how we do it, by coming to the classes and becoming part of the work. And we teach by our example, too. So we have to watch our example. And with that, I'd like to encourage you to continue coming to the classes, become those teachers, and with that, I'd like to turn it over to future priest Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'll be showing you some things about Temple, Texas. If anyone didn't know, here is Texas. You can see here. And then here is Temple, right there. All right, so here's Abilene up here where we're at, and then here's Temple. And then the Bell County, and then there's Belton and Kilteen. Those are the places I'll be talking about. So that's about approximately three hours away. And when we went there, it was very cold. We were supposed to go there on 2/4/2014, February the 4th, but then it got canceled because of the ice and the snow we had here. And then last week, Satan tried to stop the work again, but she wasn't able to do it. We still went to Temple, Texas, or the Bell County. Praise Yahweh. So we stopped there at about 3 hours, and we went to a big, huge parking space. Unlimited parking. You could buy anything you want. There was a big blue sign to welcome into the parking spot. It was called Walmart. And so we stopped there, and it was so cold there that when we woke up the next morning, the doors were frozen. There was ice all over the vehicle. And so, but the work still continued. The school there, praise Yahweh, the school was canceled 2 hours, so we weren't able to come till 2 hours later. And there was so much work that had to be done, the crew had to split up. Let me mention some things. First, we went to the probation office. You saw that. Then the Wheatley Alternative, and then Temple High. Now, all these are alternative schools that we taught at. The Peaceful Solution was really needed there. If you see here, it's called the Fort Hood shooting. As you saw, Fort Hood on the map is right here. It's right next to Killeen County. Now, let me read from this article here. It says, the Fort Hood shooting was a mass murder that took place on November 5th, 2009, so this was about 4 or 5 years ago, at Fort Hood near Killeen, Texas. His name was Nadal Malik Hassan, a U.S. Army major and a psychiatrist, fatally shot 13 people and injured more than 30 others. He was one of the U.S. Army. It says it is the worst shooting that ever took place on an American military base. This occurred at a military base. And others have called it even a terrorist attack. Hassan was shot as a result, he is paralyzed from the waist down. So the police SWAT team went in and shot Hassan, and now he's paralyzed. He was charged with 13 counts of premeditated murder and 32 accounts of attempted murder under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Now, 5 years later, or 4 years later, he was sentenced to death on August 28, 2013, and they still haven't killed him yet. Here is the police SWAT team there that shot Hassan. Now, so the wars, the society is only teaching people to kill and to fight back. That's what you see there. So the peaceful solution was really needed. Let me tell you an interesting fact. The Bell County there by Temple holds 10,000 prisoners. And then 6,000, the other 6,000, work in the prison. They're the prison workers. And then all these alternative schools, those children in them, their parents are in those prisons. That's why they're all acting up. Now, there's not only work here in Texas, there's also work in Canada. If you can play video 2.
How can the peaceful solution save the criminal and reduce the prison overcrowding?
Well, if you look at it, when someone is sentenced to prison, they're in there for like 5, 10, 15 years, maybe even 30 years.
And so they have a lot of time on their hands. And then we can teach them the simple basics of the peaceful solution, like not to steal and not to commit the crimes. And then they wouldn't even go back to prison. After their release, they wouldn't go back to prison. They would they would know not to commit the crime because they see the consequence of their actions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how can the peace of the stuff work? How can our wars around the world?
Well, it would teach the people who are in hunger. It would teach them, for example, in the responsibility unit, it has an example where you don't just give someone a fish. If you do, it would just feed them for the day. But you teach someone to fish and it feeds them for a lifetime. So it would teach people where there is no jobs, they can make their own job, not only benefiting themselves, but benefiting other people that's around them.
How can we stop all wars?
Yeah, by using the
Well, war, we have to break that term down very simply. War, a lot of people think wars are wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and now we see situations arising in Syria and tensions rising between United States and North Korea and et cetera like that. But wars can be very simply between family members. It could be very simply between gang members in society, in communities that cause a lot of damage and cause a lot of death. And like I stated earlier, it could be large scale to where people are using weapons, chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction, and even nuclear weapons. So once we identified what war is, we can go ahead and start solving what war is. First, we have three simple steps with the peaceful solution. The first one is identifying the problem. And the problem we find in every single one of these cases is negative character. And the creation of negative character traits, whether it's hatred, whether it's revenge, animosity, and disrespect between two nations. And then that grows. So we identify that as the problem. Then we have to acknowledge that all the other things that we're doing, all the things that we have attempted to do, whether it's kill the chief terrorist here or kill the leader of this country here, have not worked. And we've just continuously seen after we kill one person, another person arises, or after we take away an enemy, we solve the problem. Well, then here comes another enemy. So that doesn't work. So we have to acknowledge that our strategies going forth in solving the problem of war are not working. And then we have to apply the solution. And that's step three. Apply the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, which, like I stated earlier, has a step-by-step curriculum that allows people of any age to get involved.
First, you saw in that video there, one person down here in Texas and then another person up in New York, the peaceful solution is spreading. The person who was interviewing us was named Natalie Marie. She was 15 years old and she owned her own radio station up in Canada, Ontario, Canada. So the work is spreading. We also got to sit in another meeting from New York, meeting about the peaceful, or not New York, Egypt. So the work is spreading. The peaceful solution is spreading throughout the world. Now, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the future priest, Shlomo Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I would like to share with you about the positive ripple effect. Now, this positive ripple effect started here with the author of the program, Yishol Hawkins, as we all know, and it moved on from there. He taught us, and then we're teaching others out in this world today. Now, as you've seen right there, it's a ripple effect. When the pebble drops in the water, and then it caused a ripple, and then more bubbles came up, and they went back down, and more ripples came out. Well, that's what Yisrael Hawkins did. He dropped in the water, and it spread to us. He taught us, and now we're teaching the message to everyone else. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you have the Building Moral Excellence book, I'll be on page 208, where it says, "What I have learned. I have learned that I have the potential to make a difference in the world around me by maintaining a positive character and focusing on the choices I make. I can begin taking steps toward a peaceful world. By living a life that reflects my belief in positive character, I can motivate and encourage others to do the same." And that's what we're doing. We went out into the schools in Temple, and as you've seen with Wendy Ashworth, you didn't get to hear it, but she was saying how she's going to put the STOP acronym into her school, into her classroom, into her son's room, her daughter's room, because she enjoyed the program. She valued what the Peaceful Solution has to offer. And she wants it to be spread to everyone else. And this was in the DAEP, Disciplinary Alternative Education Program. Now on page 206 it says, "You can also have a positive ripple effect on others when you choose to resolve conflicts peacefully and avoid any action that could bring harm to yourself or others. The truth is, anybody can put others down, curse, or raise a fist. It takes far more intelligence to maintain a respectful attitude, even when you're angry. And when we go out into these schools, we teach responding to disrespect. And how do you respond to disrespect? With respect. By using self-control, which is controlling your thoughts, feelings, and actions, you can stop and think. Remember the STOP acronym? Your way out of a problem. However, keep in mind everyone is entitled to an opinion. However, do not compromise your positive character. When it comes to making a moral choice, you must stand firm. Remember, stand for what is right. Even if you're the only one standing, we must stand for what is right. Now back to page 208. Positive traits between nations can affect the world. Because if nations interact with positive character traits, this will result in trust and unity. Because of the positive ripple effect, the wars would end, and nations could begin establishing communication that will lead to worldwide peace. And this is, in order to have worldwide peace, it's only with the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And remember, we have a program that can stop all wars, and it's this program right here, only with the Peaceful Solution. And with that, if everyone will please stand, I would like to turn it over to the great Deacon Tawakia.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. There's a lot of things going on today with the Peaceful Solution. The work is really growing, and it's growing fast. Today I'm going to be sharing a little bit more information about the recent trip to Temple in Belton, Texas. Now, that morning, as you heard, we started out in Belton, but there were so many things occurring that day that we had to split up. So there was two groups that day. While one group was teaching at the DAEP in Belton, another group had to go to Temple and teach the junior probation officers, and they're the ones that work with the younger age groups. Now, I have an article on what they do and what some of the qualifications, what they have to have for to be a junior probation officer. This is from LegalCriminalJusticeSchools.com.
says juvenile probation officer job duties and education. The first step to becoming a juvenile probation officer is to get a bachelor's degree in, get this, psychology, criminal justice, corrections, social work, or a related field. This is generally the minimum education requirement to work as a juvenile probation officer. So they have to have that psychology. If you remember what Pastor said, they have to be trained in these things, and they are trained in these things. It's all ran by the Catholic Church. Now, some of the duties of the probation officers, the juvenile probation officers, are to develop a supportive relationship with the youth and serve as a positive role model. Well, what do you know? We have that positive role model, and we showed them what the peaceful solution is and how to use it. Because now that they have this positive role model, they can actually fulfill this duty. Because before, they didn't have it because they did not have the peaceful solution. Now, there was one probation officer in specific that actually helped us get into the schools that we taught that day. Her name was Crystal Cervantes. And 3 years ago, she was in Laredo. And she was a law enforcement officer at the Judge Solomon Kasev Jr. Youth Village. And we actually taught at that youth village there, as you can see. And she actually, while the classes were going on, she sat in, and that's how she found out about the program. She sat in the classes, and she realized how important the program is. That's why whenever she moved to Temple, she called one of the great Kahans and said, whenever I get into an office, a little higher office, I'll call y'all to get this into the schools here, into the alternative schools. And she did. Whenever she got to the office to where she could say things like that, she did. And she called us and we went there. We were delayed a little bit because of the conditions, but we still got there. The work was done. No matter what, this work is going to go on. Satan can try to stop it, but we will finish this work. Now, we showed them what the peaceful solution is and how to use it. Well, what is the peaceful solution? If you have your Building Moral Excellence unit, the peaceful solution, or in fact, any of the junior high units have it, in the introduction on page XV or 15, it says, "The Peaceful Solution Character Education Incorporated is pleased to introduce you to the most unique, effective, and practical character education program available today." So notice, it's the most unique and effective. It's the most effective. There's no other program that is this effective. And it's practical. It goes on to say, "You're holding a teaching tool that is guaranteed to minimize crime and violence, social disunity, and moral degradation in the classroom, home, and community." So it's guaranteed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. So this world is having problems because they rejected Yahweh's laws. And they're having problems with the youth. Remember the cursed children. If you have your book of Yahweh, if you can turn over to Yeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8 on page 574. And while we read this, keep in mind the children, that they're having problems with these children. Jeremiah 2, verse 8, on page 574. It says, "The priest did not ask, 'Where is Yahweh?' Those who deal with the law did not know me. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied in the name of Baal, the Lord, and walked after things of worthlessness, worthless gods, Elohim." So notice that. "The pastors also transgressed against me." So they broke Yahweh's laws, as it says in Isaiah 24, they broke Yahweh's laws and they did things that were not right. Well, what will the end result of their, whenever they're in their trouble? What will they do? Let's look over to the next column, to verse 27. It says, "Who say to stock, tree, wood, 'You are my father,' and to the stone, 'You gave birth to me.' Ah, they have turned their backs to me and not their faces. But in the time of their trouble, they will cry, 'Arise and save us.'" So they're going to cry to Yahweh because of the things that they chose, and they got themselves to this point. They're going to cry to Yahweh because then they'll realize that their gods can't save. Look at verse 28. Yahweh will say, this is what Yahweh will say to them. But where are your gods, Elohim, Teraphim, that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can. They can't. They can't help and save you in your time of trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, Elohim, O Yada. So remember, this world is falling apart, and this is the only place of protection. And we are going to be sent out here soon to teach this world. So with that, be prepared, because you could be called at any time. So with that, if you all please stand, I have the great opportunity to turn it over to the great Deacon Yisrael Abel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So I'm going to be talking about the latest missionary trip. And we left on Monday, and then we taught the whole day Tuesday. And we split up on Tuesday to go and teach the different schools. Now, the first event we went to was we had to teach some juvenile probation officers about the peaceful solution. And after we were done there, we went to Wheatley, which was an alternative school. And when we got there, we were setting up, and the principal asked Great Khan Benjamin to tell him what the peaceful solution is. And Khan Benjamin said, well, Jacob here can tell you. And the principal was like, well, Jacob, come to my office. So we took him to his office, and then as you saw in the film there, where Jacob was telling Mr. Pleasant about the peaceful solution. And the principal was very impressed with the program, and as you saw him say, he even wanted us to come back. Now, when we were waiting for the students to come in, there were some students who were outside, and they were beating on the door, and then they would look in, and they would beat some more, and they even broke the plastic window that was on the door. But that shows how much they need the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And they need self-control and respect. And in the respect unit, on page 1, it says, note to the student, in the heading, what is the right way, it says, in fact, the line between acceptable and unacceptable behavior has become so blurred that those who show respect for themselves and others by dressing appropriately, speaking politely to others, and studying hard are often ridiculed and hassled. There are people who even think it's fun to steal or damage property. Before we go any further, let's set the record straight. Making fun of others stealing or destroying their property is not funny or cool. It's just disrespectful and wrong. So that tells you there that destroying other people's property is not fun or cool. It's actually disrespectful. And the students were not showing respect to the school's property. Now, Mr. Pleasant there, the principal, even told us that most of their the children's parents, they were actually in jail. Now, the students in the class we taught, there were seventh graders and then there were high schoolers, and they participated. A lot of them really participated and they remembered things really well. And the principal gave the ones that participated, he actually brought them Skittles. But we need to remember that not all rewards that we get are going to be tangible, which is where we can touch them and feel them. Some, we won't always get a candy bar or a bag of Skittles when we do the right thing. And we have to remember that. Now, there was a probation officer that followed us everywhere that we went to watch how we were presenting the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And we went to another school that there was Temple High, and the guy that was with us there said that a student actually committed suicide at that school in front of the tennis courts on school campus. And here's the article from Private Officer Breaking News. And he said that they try to keep it down. It says, Temple High School student commits suicide on campus. Temple, Texas, April 21st, 2013. Solomon Harris, a 15-year-old Temple High School student who shot himself in the head Tuesday on the school campus, died overnight in a Temple hospital. Harris had been in extremely critical condition in ICU at Scott and White since Tuesday morning, when police say he shot himself in the head while standing near the tennis courts on the high school campus. Temple Police Christopher Wilcox said police recovered a handgun at the scene of the shooting. Temple ISD confirmed Wednesday Harris was a member of the school's ROTC program. School administrators were looking into reports of possible bullying. So they were looking to see if that suicide was due to bullying. So they locked the school down, and the lockdown was lifted at like 10:30. But it shows you, and one teacher actually said that these things don't occur in Temple. But there's the proof that it does occur in Temple, and that just shows you that everyone needs the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. So remember, we have the answers to the problems. We need to remember that. And we have lots of work to do, lots of people to teach, lots of places to go. And we have to remember there's work going on in Canada, even in Jamaica there's work going on. So be prepared and ready with the answers, because we are the only ones with the answers to today's problems. And with that, if you'll all please stand, I have the great opportunity to introduce to you the great Deacon Yishuel David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'm going to be talking a little bit on developing this teaching skill that they've all been talking about, and eventually perfecting it so we can go out and teach the universe. Because, and I think it's really, really important to understand that it's not just a suggestion that Yahweh says, hey, go become teachers if you want to be, I'm offering a teaching job. No, he says, he commands us to become teachers. So for my first scripture, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and this is an instruction to the leaders here. It says, in the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women who will also be able to teach others. Commit these to faithful men, and we should all be striving to become faithful men who will also be able. And I want you to think on that word able, and also able, like the house of Yahweh at Abel. So I looked up the word able in Webster's, and it says it means having sufficient power. And remember where we get that power from, that sufficient power. It's from Yahweh and from the house of Yahweh. Having sufficient power, skill, or resources. And of course, we have a whole bunch of resources. We have the books and the booklets, the Peaceful Solution books, to accomplish an objective. Having sufficient power, skill, or resources to accomplish an objective. Marked by intelligence. And of course, intelligence isn't speaking of intelligence from these schools of higher learning. It's speaking of, in our case, intelligence from the scriptures and from the Peaceful Solution. Intelligence, knowledge, skill, or competence. Competence. And that's what occurs when you study at Abel. I was reading an article this morning where they were bringing out that science is just now finding out that Alzheimer's disease in the brain is similar to the prions in mad cow disease. And that's funny because pastors brought that out several years ago, that it's the same thing. Prions and Alzheimer's disease and mad cow disease is the exact same thing, but science is now finding it out. So that shows the competence that the house of Yahweh has in the world, as opposed to the world. And not just competing with them, but also surpassing them greatly. So, able to teach others. Becoming able to teach others. How do we get there? On the next page over, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the laws and the prophets. And of course, for the world, we break that down into the Peaceful Solution. Study to show yourself approved. So meaning that we go out there and study and all of a sudden we're approved now, right? So now we can branch off from the house of Yahweh and start our own little groups, or I'm the one sent, or I'm the third witness, or whatever you want to say. So I'm going to break that down right now. Go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. If I can get it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18 on page 907. It says, for it's not the man who commends himself who is approved, but the man whom Yahweh commends. So remember, we have the leaders are told to get these faithful men who are able to teach others. We have to study so that we can become approved. And here we see that Yahweh approves us. Yahweh commends us. So the way that we become approved, the way that we become commendable to Yahweh, is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 9 through 11, but I'm only going to read 11. It's a very famous scripture in the house of Yahweh. According to the law they teach you, we're talking about Abel again. Remember, go to Abel, ask at Abel, and ask of Abel, and you'll get the decision. According to the law they teach you, you shall do. And according to the decisions they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence they pronounce for you. So now we have what we need to be teaching and where we get it from. And don't turn to the right or the left. Don't pull yourself aside from the laws of Yahweh and from the peaceful solution, or else you become abominable. Just wanted to throw that in there. So the laws of Yahweh, you know, if we change these things and turn to the right or the left from them, you weaken the teachings. The laws of Yahweh were made perfect by Yahweh. And if we turn, add to them, or take away from them, we weaken the teachings. You know, but once you learn these things, you become proficient in them. You start teaching by example. Your example, you start showing these things through your actions. And there's all kind of classes on Sabbath that help us with these things, help us build these things in our lives so we can teach others. And, you know, we're all working on getting sin out of our life, becoming perfect in these things. But as Pastor says, you know, in the great Kahan Abel, there's another Abel. He says, you know, when you teach others not to sin, you stop sinning yourself. You know, so, and even when you're teaching things, you know, these things click in your mind and it's like, dang, I never really thought of that before. That just made sense all of a sudden. You know, so it's a great joy when you teach these things. And then it's even a greater joy when you are in classes or you see something occurring and all of a sudden Con Benjamin is like, that's a student that I had in a class like 5 years ago. And, you know, you see them start and they're doing their own little works now. And, you know, so that's where Pastor says, you know, the work's going to start spreading from here. And, you know, so there's classes on Sabbath evening, and there's even classes on Skype now that we're holding. And so you can learn to become teachers, and so you can actually start becoming proficient in these things. And they'll actually break, the teachers will actually break you down from book one all the way to the end on how to teach in-depth this curriculum. And you just call them, email them. As Pastor says, you people out there in radio and TV land, just call or email. And, you know, they'll hook you up and get you set up with these things. But the most important thing is that we study what's brought out at Abel. You know, if we don't do that, then we're putting ourselves out on a limb and we're lost. So the most important thing is you do that so we'll be able to teach others. Or able, like here at Abel, to teach others. And with that, if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to our next speaker, the great Deacon Samuel.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Praise God. If you have your book of Yahweh, I'd like if you can turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, I'm on page 731. But, you know, today I'd like to remind everyone the reward that we are working for in these last days. You know, I'd like to remind everyone that, you know, this work, you know, just think about it. We're only a handful of people, yet look at the work we're doing at this time. And, you know, remember that it's Yahweh's doing. You know, we can't do this without Yahweh. We can't do this without our high priest, Yahshua. We definitely can't do it without our pastor, Israel Hawkins, who teaches us the things when we go forth and teach it to others. But Yahweh's the one who's giving us the strength in these last days, brothers and sisters, here at Abel, to go forth and push forth this work. But in Matthew chapter 5 verse 12, I want you to notice here where it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Is everyone rejoicing today? Praise Yahweh. You know, we should always be rejoicing, especially on the Sabbath day. You know, but notice the next part where it says, for greatest is your reward. Is it in the world, brothers and sisters? What does it say there? Our reward is in where? In heaven. Okay, it says heaven, not in this world, brothers and sisters. And we sometimes, you know, forget these things, you know, through the daily grind, but always remember that our reward is in the kingdom. It's in heaven, you know. And, you know, these things in the world, they're going to perish. These things in the world, that these material things, these things are going to perish. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes, you know, these things, so that we ourselves don't fall short or get caught up in, you know, the foolishness of the world, you know, because we just got out of it, brothers and sisters. But, you know, this scripture here, this next scripture, 1 Corinthians, if you turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, found on page 893. And, you know, this scripture has always been encouraging to me, and I'd like to share it with you. But found on page 893, on verse 24, it says, "Do you know that those who run in a race all compete?" And just remember, we're all competing for this position here. "But only one receives the prize. So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours." You know, we ourselves have to pour forth the effort in achieving our goals on a daily basis. We can't have someone else do it for us. You know, verse 25, "And everyone who competes conduct himself temperately in all things. Now, they compete to obtain a perishable crown." You know, and that's what the world do. That's what they do. They compete for a perishable crown. You know, and you know, all these sporting events where they want to be the best, be the ones on top. You know, but they only obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown, an eternal possession in Yahweh's kingdom, brothers and sisters. You know, and we have to remember these things. And in verse 26, you know, "Therefore do not run like a man running aimlessly." You know, can't you just imagine that, a man running aimlessly? "You know, I do not fight like a man who beats the air." You seen that lately? "A man who beats the air." But in verse 27, "No, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." You know, and that scripture actually tells us to actually have self-control, which we teach in the Peaceful Solution. "You know, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." You know, not being a hypocrite, teaching one thing, but we ourselves don't apply it. But, you know, in verse 26, where it says, you know, "Do not run like a man running aimlessly," it reminded me of the, in the Building Moral Excellence, you can write this down for your notes on page 131. You know, if you turn to that page, the first thing you see there is a man running. But there's a quote in there on page 131 on the Building Moral Excellence where it says, "Where there's purpose, there must be goals." You know, and having a purpose without setting goals is like running a race with no finish line. Or running aimlessly, you know, you start running and you just, you know, you see the finish line, but you go run the other way. You know, that's what it's like. You know, we all have a purpose here, brothers and sisters, in Yahweh's house in these last days. You know, praise Yahweh. And we all should recognize our purpose in the house of Yahweh, but, you know, having a purpose by itself is not enough to achieve this eternal position. We have to put forth the effort, set goals so that we may attain that imperishable crown, that eternal position in Yahweh's house. You know, so here in Yahweh's house, we have a purpose. We have positive goals to set forth. But, you know, in the world, they have no purpose. They don't have any purpose at all. Some of them don't even have the will to live. You know, that's why you see the chaos in this world. This world is truly dying at this time. You know, so I want to bring forth these things because, you know, we're almost to the end, brothers and sisters, and the work is truly growing. Every time you see the footage of the missionary team, remember, we're all part of this missionary team. You know, it's not just one group here and there, but we're all part of this missionary team working together. When you see the footage, that should be encouraging all of us that our work is not in vain, brothers and sisters. Our work is not in vain. You know, it's not like, you know, we just go out, you know, once a while and do what we want. No. All these things are being inspired through our pastor, Israel Hawkins, to go forth and teach. You know, this is actually fulfilling prophecies in these last days. And we are all a part of this, brothers and sisters. So, you know, keep in mind our goals in the house of Yahweh, our positive goals, and strive for them. So that we don't find ourselves lacking, brothers and sisters. So we don't find ourselves short in obtaining that imperishable crown. If you all please stand. Praise Yahweh. I can now present to you the next speaker, Great Deacon Tovia.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated. How are you doing on this beautiful Sabbath day?
again. Well, while we were in Temple, we went to one of the facilities where they, the correctional offices for the youth, and we had given a class, a presentation, showing them what they could expect from the Peaceful Solution, how they could help these young people. And, you know, we did it kind of in the lobby. They didn't really have a classroom, so we did it in the lobby there. And they all sat at their desk as their desk and watched the presentation. And it was like they were all, you know, like apologizing and stuff. We're like, no, we'll teach this class anywhere. If we want, you know, we'll teach it out in the parking lot. We'll set up a projector out there and we'll teach it out there. But we had finished up there and we told one of the men there, we said, you know, we're going over to so-and-so school. And he goes, oh, you're going into Iraq. And we're like, Iraq? What is he talking about? And the lady said, you know, that's a bad school. She said, that's probably the worst school in the county. But he was referring to it as being, you know, like war there, you know, all the conflicts and things taking place. And we didn't catch on at first, but then the lady, you know, filled us in on some of the things that are going on in that school. But, you know, they always, if you look at the way they're constantly coming at the problems, they're looking for solutions, okay? They're, you know, they're asking, why is this? Why is that? Why is this? But they never have the answer, well, this is why this is taking place. Sometimes they'll throw rocks at it and get close, but they never actually get down to the core of the problem. And the core of the problem, you know, we've talked about this a lot, is the training of the children. You know, the way, why is that such a bad school? Well, it's the way those children were trained, okay? And remember in Deuteronomy 6:7, you know, train up the children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Okay? And when you lie down and when you rise up, all these things. Okay? But real quick, I wanted to show y'all something I came across. Okay? And it says, inside the outrageous world of child cage fighting, tiny boys who are trained to attack each other in America's baby MMA. Okay? So this is actual cage fighting. See, here's the fence right here. There's a door. And they're actually training these children, okay? Let me finish reading here. It says, in the heat battle between two MMA fighters is handled inside an industrial metal cage. One kicks and punches while the other and struggles his way to brutal victory. His opponent breaks down in tears and cries for his mother. But this is not an unusual end to another television brawl between two fully grown brutes. These are kids. MMA, or mixed martial arts, which is rapidly becoming one of the nation's fastest growing sports among children. Okay, they're estimating 3 million kids are involved in this right now. Okay, so you can see how the way they're being trained from young, this is the way that they're being trained. But when we got to the school, we were setting up, and all the doors are locked. You can't just, you know, we couldn't just go out to the RV and, oh, we forgot a cord. They had to come and lock the doors and let us in and let us out. But by while we were there, like, you know, one of the previous speakers was saying, you know, things are being thrown at the door. There was yelling going on. You know, people are walking up and down the hall. You know, they have metal detectors through each little area. You could see how all the precautions they were taking to try to cut down on the violence or the problems. And what we were telling them was, you know, here's one solution that will solve all your problems. Okay? You can get rid of the metal detectors. You can get rid of the locks. Because if you start training these children in the peaceful solution, the real solution to the problem, you won't need any of that stuff. And that's what the man, as you've seen, you know, he said, I was very pleased with the presentation, okay? But here in the house of Yahweh, this is a quote from Pastor. It says, build your children up. They're the best in the world. They are so close to Yahweh right now. This work of Yahweh is bringing them up. Is bringing them up. Now that's the work of Yahweh, of course. That the heavens are waiting to see. Remember the unveiling? The curtain being drawn back, okay? The heavens are waiting to see and waited to see completed, okay? Calling heaven and earth to witness this plan, okay? Training the children. That's why it's so important, you know? If you don't train a child in these things, they're not going to know it. Okay? If I wasn't trained in the laws of Yahweh, I wouldn't know it. That's why it's so important that we train up our children, as Deuteronomy 6:7 says. You know, when we're walking on the road, before we lie down, when we rise up, all the spare moments we have to train them, okay? Here's another quick article that I have. Are video games just propaganda for and training tools for the military? Okay, what they did was they went through and showed all the video games through the years and how each one of them in some way tied into a war or a ship or a plane or some type of thing going on with the military, and showing how, you know, it ties in with everything and how it is training our children for that. But here in the Great House of Yahweh, that's not what we're training our children for. We're training them to become teachers, and that's what we've got. We've got true teachers of righteousness, young, okay? Yeah. Praise Yahweh, okay? The young men and women in the House of Yahweh, they are true teachers of righteousness, and they are going to uphold this because this is what they've been trained to do. Okay, so with this, you know, keep studying. You know, if you don't have the children's training series, I've seen a commercial recently that was talking about it, you know, get them and go over them, read them, and study them. But real quick, for a closing scripture, I'd like you to turn over to 2 Timothy 4:2. It's found on page 939. And it says, "Preach the word, the laws, and the prophets. Be instant, ready to take your positions in season and out of season." Okay? Be ready to take those positions because they're going to need to be filled here very quick. And they're already being filled, and they're already filled by you. But remember, you can't just one position. You don't. That's not all you have to, you know, oh, I got one position over here. Okay? You can take on several positions and helping in this great work of Yahweh in these last days in training the children and showing the world the error of their ways and why they're having these problems. So with this, I'm going to turn it over to the great Deacon David Knight.
Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'll try to keep this short. I'd like you to remember, just looking around around us, looking around with our eyes, this world has been bombarded completely with an agenda of destruction. This Hollywood bringing forth the things it brings forth, the sodomy, the hatred, the violence that it brings forth, changing the minds of people, you know. We have to remember that this is the last generation. This is the time of the end. It is now okay with a lot of people out there, and definitely with Hollywood, that make you think that everybody agrees with it, but not everyone does. But the murder of babies, the men marrying men, women marrying women, you know, it being okay to get high as long as the government can make money on it. You know, they've given up is what they've done. They said, we can't control it. Well, let's just make the money on it. Gender changes. You know, these things that were once very rare seem to be a very commonplace surgery these days. I mean, it is sick. Deuteronomy 28. When you read Deuteronomy 28, you can see what it'll be like if we keep Yahweh's laws, and you can see what it'll be like if we break Yahweh's laws. And that's what you can see amongst us out there today in the world. Isaiah 24 is being played out before our very eyes. In front of our very eyes, Psalms 91 tells us that only with our eyes will we be a part of this. We'll see this with our eyes, but it won't come near us if we are doing the things that Yahweh teaches us to do. I'm going to mention a little bit about the children and about guarding the children, but I'd like you to take a look at this video number 3, please. Video number 3.
The lens of a motion picture projector is an eye that can help you stimulate, motivate, educate your students. But like any eye, it must be pointed in the right direction. Its wise use demands selectivity. Behind the eye, there must be a brain, your brain.
Educational films go back to the turn of the century.
Prior to World War II, educational films were about process and place. They would show how something happened, something that was really difficult to dramatize in the classroom, a chemical reaction, the process of plant growth, things that you couldn't quite recreate, you know, the teacher and students. But in World War II, film came into its own because it was used for the education and training of millions of GIs. It worked. It was effective. And it didn't hurt that after the war, tens of thousands of surplus projectors found their way into American schools.
You ready, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Is this thing going to take long?
No.
Good.
Kids weren't very well supervised during World War II. Fathers might have been away fighting or working in defense plants. Mothers were working. Kids were autonomous. They weren't supervised. You have the phenomenon of increased juvenile delinquency. And there was a real feeling that the family as we knew it would no longer be an important feature of American life.
Let's consider a second purpose for which films are designed. To change attitudes.
And that's when the social guidance movement, as we see it in film, began, where you see the sustained effort to create a body of films to be shown to kids, especially teenagers, and train them how to be kids again.
Hi, Larry. My name is Chalky.
Gosh, you can talk.
Ah, oh, that's nothing. What's important, Larry? I'm here for a purpose. To do something about your manners.
What do you mean? My man.
You can remain seated, please. And as you can see, that child there at the end, that's kind of what it's like out there sometimes when you try to teach people, you know, the way they're not used to. You know, they come back at you a little harsh at first. But these things, these films, as you saw, you saw the different things they mentioned to motivate, to stimulate, to educate. And they were used mostly in industrial things, a little bit of training prior to the war. And then after the war, did you hear that? Tens of thousands of projectors ended up in the schools. Some of you, if you're my age, you remember these very projectors probably in the schools, showing us some of these training videos, some safety videos and all. To give you just a little bit more information on this, there's an article. It's called Why Films Were Created. And it's on historymatters.gmu.edu. Although films seem to capture real life effortlessly, they are in fact industrial products. Now get this. The result of complex technological processes and carefully discussed purposes. I'm going to just mention a few highlights in here. Some industries sponsored publicity films, industrial films, and to encourage tourism. Now, determining the purpose or purposes behind a film can be a lot trickier. Certain propaganda films announce their messages very clearly, but as time went on, it may be that films convey and instruct best when they least seem to be doing so. Many attitudes conveyed by films or any cultural product about gender, race, class, sexuality, or religious and moral values are conceived less as conscious messages than conveyed as common assumptions. So when they put this across and they're doing it subconsciously, and it actually becomes assumptions in people's minds, just like the assumption that, oh, well, all these people are for sodomy. Well, no, that's not true. As we've seen a few cases of that when people stood up against it. When certain people in the media went against what the media taught, like Phil Robertson, like some presidents of state, they came out and spoke very sternly against it. And people stood up for them. More people were standing up for them than coming against them, actually, except for in the mainstream Hollywood media. An example of these subconscious things that took place was the innocent cartoons and training films, just like when I was a child, the cartoons that were played, they looked innocent, but in the background they had all kinds of icons and innuendos taking place. Other films express attitudes towards women's proper role, racial equality, or nature of war, or the family. Now listen to this, without proclaiming a position. That's like the Pope. That's like the Catholic Church not proclaiming a solid position, worshiping all the gods. Oh, it's all okay with us. Come on in. There's an article here about civil unions, and it actually has several different sayings recently from the Pope in articles, and I'm going to read a few to you. Pope Francis reaffirmed the Catholic Church's opposition to gay marriage on Wednesday, but suggested in a newspaper interview that it could support some types of civil unions. Now, is that taking a position on this? No. The Pope reiterated the Church's longstanding teaching that marriage is between a man and a woman. However, he said, we have to look at different cases and evaluate them in their variety. Now remember, this is someone who's very skilled in trickery and dark sayings, very skilled in psychology. So then his argument becomes more of the need of the people. He says, some states justify civil unions as a way to provide economic security to cohabitating couples. And just to move through it, it says state-sanctioned unions are thus driven by the need to ensure rights like access to health care. So there he is again, stepping right in the fence, you know, going both sides of the fence, waiting to see which way the wind really blows. The Pope did not choose to enter into debates about the delicate matter of gay civil unions because someone might, you know, corner him and get him to take a position. He says in response to an interviewer, the natural characteristic of marriage between one man and one woman. That's the natural characteristic. But on the other hand, there it is again, he also spoke about the obligation of the state to fulfill its responsibility towards its citizens. In January, now he uses the emotions. Remember, he's skilled in psychiatry. The emotions and psychology, I mean. In January, the Pope recalled a little girl in Buenos Aires who told her teacher that she was sad because my mother's girlfriend doesn't like me. She was sad, you know, trying to play on the emotions. The situation in which we now live provides us with new challenges which sometimes are difficult for us to understand, he says. Well, it's not difficult for us to understand, is it? We've been taught how to understand this. You understand it by keeping the laws of Yahweh. You understand it by taking the position. What position? The position of Yahweh. The position that Yisrael Hawkins, the seventh Malach, has taught us. That's the position that we take. And even the youngest children in this congregation are not deceived by these sayings. Praise Yahweh. So, after all this, a Vatican leader denied that those comments were signaling an opening towards same-sex unions. Come on. Last June, Francis also refused to judge gay priests in comments that ricocheted around the world. But he also said that the church should not interfere in the spiritual lives of gays and lesbians. Come on, it's all right with us. Come on into the church, he says. I added that. On contraception, the Pope praised Pope Paul for having the courage to go against the majority when restating the ban in 1968. But, there it is, but Francis said the church must also be merciful and attentive to concrete situations. In response, the church has done more than other institutions to be open and transparent about sexual abuse by its employees, Francis said. But the church is the only one being attacked. He's trying to make light of the situation and making it sound like now this is just a company with employees, that these priests don't have a vast control over the network of the congregations. Pope Francis said that states seek to regularize different situations of living together in order to ensure health care and other economic benefits, according to the translation by Vatican Insider. And he added, we have to look at the different cases and evaluate them in their entirety. It's a bunch of doublespeak. And that's how this has operated for a long time. You know, the Jesuits priests, they are skilled in this. And they've gone out through the entire world. The Jesuit missionaries learned Indian languages, even accepted the Indian ways to get in there and infiltrate the Indian organizations, the Native American organizations. And then they would turn it around and use it against them and to bring them into that church. It's the universal religion. They worship all the gods. This is how they operate and infiltrate. And just a quick note, from 1540 until his death, that is Ignatius Loyola, in 1556. He was directing a worldwide network of more than 1,000 Jesuits at that time. Now, it's spread big time since then, and today there are 665 Jesuit educational institutions throughout the world, and of these, 177 are higher education institutions, which many are right here in the United States. So the thing we have to remember is Satan has always brought a counterfeit for what Yahweh brings forth. And it's just like the children prophesying, the children going out and teaching the nations and revealing these truths, the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. The world has now got children that are going out to teach. The Catholic Church, the churches are copying what Israel Hawkins has set in place in these last days. They're copying it because they see that it works. But the thing they're not copying is the truth. They're not copying the laws of Yahweh. They're not copying the peaceful solution. They're copying is bringing forth a watered down mixture of it. It's the mixture of righteousness and evil, and it's more harmful than it is helpful. And it's just like the temple that was taken by force in the days of Solomon. You know, Solomon, for whatever reason, he allowed these things to take place. I'm sure it was oversight. What took place was it got watered down. The teachings got watered down. It wasn't on purpose on his part, but it snuck in. And that's what we have to guard against. If you think watching a video or watching even documentaries have so much stuff in them that is subconsciously teaching your children, we have to guard against it and not let this message be watered down in any way. And when you let that occur with your children, it's being watered down. The message is being watered down. Even though it's not watered down from this podium, it's watered down when you do that. Everyone needs to take heed and guard their children. And don't miss these opportunities that are presented by Yahweh for you to learn and be part of this revealing of these truths. Don't miss it. Come to the classes. Read the books. Come on the Sabbath and spend all day here with your children, first thing in the morning, being taught by the other children. You know, it works, I'm telling you. Don't be like these Egyptian Coptic Catholic priests, the ones that speak not according to what they do. We need to speak and do the truth, so don't cop out. I don't know if that's where that saying came from, but don't cop out like the Coptic priest did and say, well, we can't do it, or, you know, we've got to watch out for the people. They don't want this, you know. So don't go the way of the wind blowing every direction. Come to the classes, be prepared to take your place, and guard your children, because they are the teachers. They're the ones bringing this forth, which everyone should be able to see at this time. And if you'll all please stand. It is my great honor and privilege to introduce the next speaker, the great Kohan Sefanya Heimerman Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
You may be seated. If you would, I would like to put a couple scriptures in your mind here this morning. If you turn over to Yeketzkiah chapter 36, on page 657, Yeketzkiah chapter 36. You know, the purpose statement of the peaceful solution, the objective, has always been to change the hearts and minds. And a couple things we should realize from this. First, that a change of the hearts and minds is needed in mankind. And secondly, that the peaceful solution has the power to do that, to change the hearts and minds. So if you look at Yeketzkiah chapter 36, verse 26, page 657, a new heart, mind, I will also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. And you know, this comes through the teaching, through the repetitiousness of teaching, the diligence of the peaceful solution, being consistent, practicing it consistently. But this spirit becomes evident through the works, through the actions. And if you'd look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the spirit. We're going to just read those. And I want you to listen. We're going to, in just a couple minutes, we're going to show a testimony of a young man who has been diligently taught the peaceful solution. And I want you to pay attention to the words and how his life has been completely changed through studying and applying the peaceful solution. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, righteousness, the faith, meekness, gentleness, humility, temperance, self-control. Such things are not against any law. So pay attention to those things as you watch this testimony. Now, before we do that, I want to give you just a brief history and overview of the work of the Peaceful Solution in San Antonio, Texas. Now, the work has been going on there since the fall of 2006, and there's been numerous classes taught in different organizations. Some of them, the Boys and Girls Club, Bexar County Juvenile Center, the Communities and Schools, Baptist Children's Foster Service, Center for Refugee Services, Urban Connection Community Center, Guadalupe Community Center, Cuellar Park, San Antonio Parks Development, and one that continues to be a very big one is the Victory Outreach Drug and Gang Ministry. And this is a rehabilitation home. They're considered halfway houses. And most of the people that have been taught there over the years have come out of various drug addictions, been in and out, they've been on parole, they have criminal records, some even had CPS cases pending. And, you know, so by all worldly standards, they're considered the worst of the worst. They're considered the ones that most people would want to get rid of and not deal with. But the Peaceful Solution has made a connection with them and actually empathized, you know, with their situation and what they've gone through, and they're being given an opportunity. So all in all, in those areas that were mentioned, there's been over 8,000 students that have been taught the Peaceful Solution. Now, over 1,700 students at the Victory Outreach alone. And throughout those years, numerous certificates for the completion of the Peaceful Solution have been given out. But, you know, one thing to keep in mind, that the students have to demonstrate. They don't just get a certificate for completing a certain number of classes. They actually have to demonstrate the change of heart and mind. They have to demonstrate the change of attitude with their peers and directors and leaders and so forth. And some of them that have been graduates, as you'll hear with the young man in this testimony, they've gone on to become strong leaders in the community and have continued to teach and practice the things that they learned in the Peaceful Solution. And this is the true test of the changing of the hearts and minds. So what we're going to see in the video, this young man comes from a very tough background. He actually comes from one of the toughest neighborhoods in San Antonio. And you'll hear him give an example there, something that occurred to him. Somebody hit him in the face. And, you know, normally that would have been met with strong retaliation. He said, you know, well, I'll let you hear it in his own words. But for him to practice the Peaceful Solution, that takes a lot of strength. You can see the change in the young man's heart and mind. But I also want you to listen to his zeal and desire that he has to teach the Peaceful Solution and to teach others the things that he's learned in this program. And lastly, you know, realize that this is the fruit of your labor right here as you hear this young man's testimony. So at this time, I'd like to play disc 4.
Hello, my name is Eric Velasquez. I'm a recent graduate from the Peaceful Solution program at Victory Outreach San Antonio. I mean, I've been in an abusive home. Right now, I mean, this program's helped me out a lot. I've restored a lot of relationships. I forgave a lot of people. I was a short-tempered man. I mean, me and my little brother would get into fights, and now with this program, I mean, I ain't getting into no more fights, and it's just helped me out a lot. I've been in I've came and left, and I had to buckle down this time seriously. I mean, it's either change for the better or get worse, and I made a stand and I made a choice to get better. And I just feel so at peace with myself now. I feel better.
And how did you start out?
I started out bad. I mean, I couldn't even say hello. I couldn't even speak out to people. Or I was just a rebel.
How young were you?
I was 13 when I really started this cycle that I broke when I was 21. And I'm just glad that I had these classes to guide me and to show me the way that nobody else has.
And your character?
My character has improved. Like I said, I can honestly forgive and turn the other cheek and be forgiving to people that I would never thought I'd forgive in my life. Like I'm saying, this class is awesome.
Your recommendation?
My recommendation is for all the people out there in this world to get this class, embrace it, and grasp the concept of it, because it does help, and you will be at peace at the end of this class. Okay. I just want to let y'all know an event that just happened recently here. Me and one of my peers, we were arguing, and we're just, he was antagonizing me and just pushing my buttons, and he hit me in the face. Like, I wasn't expecting it, and I had just finished teaching a peaceful solution class, and it was just a shock to me, because everything that I taught and everything that I learned from the class and everything that I've learned here just rushed back into my head. Like, seriously, everything told me don't strike back, self-control, respect, forgiveness. Hard for me to walk away, because coming from my background, I would have been the one to put on the shoes and tell them, let's go outside and fight, let's do this and do that. But I mean, I took the Peaceful Solution class into consideration, what I've learned and everything, and it came out to a better outcome in the end. I gained the respect of my peers more. I gained the respect of my leadership. Being humble, you get risen up. It's a biblical term too. And it's just amazing of how backing off from a fight, you become a bigger man, the better man, and eventually. I would like to teach y'all more, like myself, to become a teacher, a better teacher myself, so I can teach one person at a time to become a better person, because it starts with me first to change, and then the change starts in another person, because you don't have to fight anymore and you're standing up for the right thing in the end. I'm just glad that I have a good teacher like Mr. Martinez, and I'm thankful.
And how did you feel when you were teaching the class?
I felt amazing when I was teaching the class. It was just such a joy to come back and teach my peers, because I'm a graduate, and
You were just teaching from the notes?
Yeah, teaching from the notes too, from what I have written down during the class, which I had taken. Lead by example.
How did your peers react when you were teaching the class? Did they ask questions?
They asked questions. They were happy to. They were participating in the class. They were amazed that another 22-year-old man off the streets would come into a class, graduated, and just blow their mind with the class, because they were asking questions, participating, and it's just amazing what this class can do for you.
You can be seated. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you heard, just a couple of things that Eric said, my recommendation is that everyone in the world would be taught the peaceful solution. And the comment he made about the teaching the class from his notes, the deacon was, on a different peaceful solution assignment at the time. And Eric, one of the graduates, and someone else taught the class that evening, and they taught it from the notes that they had taken from the previous classes. That's what they used, to teach, as you heard. Now, throughout the years, the deacon would call, and he would actually give an update and on the classes and some of the testimonies of the students and what they were saying, and he was told, you need to start putting these things down, recording them. And I want to read you in closing here just a couple of the things that have been said throughout these classes. Now, the first one here, this was said in the context. So what you're trying to tell us is, and the person said, so you're teaching us how to be teachers so we can teach others the peaceful solution in our own words? Then another person said, you have no idea what you set in motion now. You have no idea what you started in this home tonight, because this is what I came for. I needed to hear this. Another person said, these classes are great. I live for this. It's getting to the point where if I miss these classes, just one class, my whole week is worthless. I have to be here to see what else there is to learn from this program. It's something that we feel is important. And even after you leave, speaking of the instructor, we go upstairs and we talk about the lecture and the lesson. And in conclusion here, the last one says, it's crazy because everything you're teaching us is so biblical. It's just presented in a different way. May Yahweh bless your understanding. At this time, I turn the services over to the great Kahan Kananya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, Saints Yahweh. You may be seated. That right there is an example of the STOP acronym in action. The STOP acronym in action. Actually taking that, which he learned, and when he was faced with a situation, when I was watching the video, it made me think of when that man spit in pastor's face after somebody had previously come and done the same thing to the great Kohen Yehuda, and he's like, man, I'd like if that would occur to me instead. And a little bit later, it did. And of course, you know, as a man of Yahweh, he didn't lash out. He practiced Yahweh's peaceful solution. And like the apostles, he rejoiced when he suffered for righteousness' sake. And so we see these things building and developing in the world. And you see people who have totally no background in any type of moral character development, any training, and in a lot of cases, not really any religious training, which that would probably do them worse. So it's actually to their benefit. But when they receive the peaceful solution and are continuously and diligently taught it, it does the very thing that Yahweh promised that it would do, and that's change the hearts and the minds. Now, Jeremiah says, be careful about the heart and being desperately wicked, and who can understand it? But that's a heart that's set up in a carnal nature, a heart that's led by a mixture of righteousness and evil. Not that we're going to be guided by our hearts in the future, like a heartfelt calling, but that we will be guided by the laws of Yahweh, and our hearts will be toward the love of the laws of Yahweh. That's a part of what this changing of the heart is developing a love for the great laws of Yahweh, as so much so, if you turn over to Psalms 119, developing a love so great for the laws of Yahweh that as Psalms 119, verse 165 says, we will not be offended. Thank you. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, a great peace have they who love your laws, and nothing will offend them, that is, cause them to fall away because of unbelief or sin. And each and every one of us knows how when we have a great love, a great desire, a strong burning zeal for a particular cause or a person or an object, that there is nothing that would separate us from achieving that goal or holding on to that object or pursuing that cause. Well, that's the same thing that Yahweh wants us to develop for his laws. That's the same thing he wants us to develop for this kingdom that is laid before us, which is why Yeshua said to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. And that is the same thing that Yahweh wants us to develop for one another, a great burning love and desire for one another to strive to make life better for one another, to live at peace with one another, to bring joy on the Sabbath day, to bring joy on the feast day, to lift one another up. I mean, you know, there's so much, praise Yahweh, there's so much tearing down in the world right now that it's a rarity, and then the news classifies it as, not great acts of kindness, but there is still a little humanity. They make these terminologies that, you know, there's still a little humanity left in the world, you know, and they call people who do things that Yahweh teaches in his laws, they call them extraordinary, you know. Well, today's ordinary has become an acceptable way of what we see coming forth from the Catholic Church. War has become acceptable. of violence, what we see in the schools taking place, that has become this world's ordinary. So when you see the laws of Yahweh being practiced within an individual or within a group of people, yeah, it is outside the ordinary because we are not ordinary people. In fact, Yahweh calls us peculiar, right? And that's a great honor to be called that. But before I forget, I wanted to make mention, one of the young priests, the future priest, mentioned about the teacher in temple who had said that that this doesn't occur here in temple. And he gave the article where it was, just to give you kind of a setup, you had the high school on one particular campus, and then in between the high school and the alternative school, you had the athletic fields, the tennis courts, the football court and so forth. A football court. I'm not a sports guy. A football field. And so you had those, and then you had the alternative school right there. Well, on one of the occasions when we were playing the videos that we normally play and have played for, you know, 3-4 years now, and showing how a lack of self-control can end in consequences for the individual as well as the victim, in this particular video, a guy shot another person. Okay, and he suffered the consequence of being sentenced to life in not life, but a death sentence. And so right after that, you know, the teacher, she had abruptly kind of ended things, and she had come to us afterwards, and she said, you know, these young men and women, they're not equipped to handle this. You know, we have to build them up to this point where they can see a video like this. And I was thinking, okay, all right. So we ended up talking to them a little bit afterwards just to kind of explain to them and kind of, you know, explain to them what the purpose of the video was. Now, I'm not talking about, these weren't 10, 12, 11-year-olds. These were 18, 19, 20-year-old men and women. And remember, they're already in an alternative school, so they had already made some choices in their lives that had got them to this point. And so we explained to them and asked them if there were any questions, and, you know, they were just kind of sitting back like, no, I don't got no questions, you know, because I know that we know that they're probably going home on the weekends and watching all type of violent movies and things like that, and weren't being educated as to what the outcome of those choices would bring. So at the end of all of this, after it was all said and done, you know, as the teacher told us, you know, they can't handle this, and we need to kind of build them up to this, one of the young men came to us, and he said, I'm glad that you came here and presented what you did, because I had a friend who also was going through bullying, and who was going through being picked on, and who was experiencing a lot of these same things, and he actually committed suicide. And he said, you know, it really kind of affected me because I'm an emotional person, but it was not because of what he saw, but because of what he had remembered and related to with his friend. And he said if he would have had this presented to him a much earlier in time, he probably would still be here. So he says, I'm appreciative that you guys are doing what you're doing, and I like that more could be done. And so, you know, of course, we kind of gave him the information as to what he could do, praise Yahweh, and helping and to promote the peaceful solution. So, you know, in that one instance right there, it kind of gave us a little bit of a view as I was talking to some of the other priests that, and you know, a lot of teachers, bless their hearts, are out of touch with reality when it comes to the students and what they're going through, you know, and the students, they see these things. They're a little bit more attuned to them because this is a reality for them. This is not something at the end of the day, they go to something else. Sometimes they're going back to their hell, which is in their actual home. So these things, they bring a little bit of light to them, and they bring a ray of hope to them when they see what developing a pod, that there is a program out there that can show them how to develop a positive moral character. I just wanted to share that with you. Kind of reminds me of From the Mouths of Babes. And when you think about children, you don't have to, it's not just 3 and 4-year-olds. I mean, Yahweh calls us what? His children. Hear, children. Listen, O children. But he is working with the younger generation. And I want you to keep something in mind, too. When the children of Israel turn over to Yahshua, the book of Yahshua, chapter 5. Yahshua chapter 5. Okay, and that's on page 181. But remember that the fighting men, you know, the older generation, they had kindly died off. And in verse 6, he says, the children of Israel had walked 40 years in the wilderness until those men of war who had come out of Egypt were dead. The men of war, the men of strife, the men who, a lot of them didn't accept Moshe's teachings. They didn't hold on to the laws that he was presenting to them after they came out of Egypt. Remember, their stubbornness kept them from going in the beginning. For they had not obeyed Yahweh. For Yahweh had vowed to them that they would not see the land he had promised to their forefathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. But their sons, notice, Yahweh raised up in their place. It was their children, their offspring. And right now, just to remind you again, I think 2011 or 2013 was the last count. There are approximately, of our population right now, 25% are 14 and under. And now that's not counting 15 through 18 or 19 as far as the population, but a quarter of the world's population is 14 and under right now. You know, so minds that are still able to be molded and able to be trained. And you see a theme here with what's being taught is that Yahweh is using the children. He is raising up the children to be teachers of the future generations that are going to be coming. It reminds me of what Pastor Woody used to do, and some of you may remember this, many, many years ago. I'm thinking I almost want to say 1,000 years ago, but it hasn't been that long. Seems like it, but many, many years ago, when he'd get up to speak, he would try to really get the attention, reel in the attention of the young ones. And he would say, now listen to me, you young ones paying attention to me. At the end of this sermon, you come back to the office and I'll have a treat for you. Now, I'm not saying that right now, okay? So don't. but he would do that to get their attention so that they would hear the words, and he would ask them questions and so forth about the message, you know, not just a for nothing thing, but it was to draw their attention to the fact that in hearing Yahweh's words and in paying attention to the teachings of Yahweh, there is great reward. Now, we have something offered to us a little bit more than a sucker, you know, or a treat or a candy or something like that. But you know, he was laying the foundation as an example, as a teacher, to get us to try to do things to bring our children's attention to the laws of Yahweh, because the outcome of them performing those laws is the greatest reward they could ever experience. And as parents and teachers, we could ever experience an obedient household, obedient children brings great joy to Yahweh. Now, look at Isaiah. We'll kind of speed through here in Isaiah, because right now we see what the world is in, and they're in this way for a purpose. You see the videos that showed in this last missionary trip that we went on. There we went to and dealt with all alternative schools, and also the probation department that handles dealing with those students. And I ask you, you know, in all the problems that you heard, you know, there was, if we would have actually showed a lot of the video that was playing, there would have had to be a lot of beeps in there, because those children, they had no, as my parents used to say, couth, you know, of how they spoke. So there were a lot of, you know, a lot of foul language and so forth. But in all of that, in those children, in the way that they act, is it their fault? No, it's not their fault. You know, even in the teachers and how they respond to them, is it really their fault? No, they're doing what they've been trained to do. You know, the fault lies in the system of Nimrod that created this to begin with. And in Revelation, or Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and the women rule over them. My people, O my people, they who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. Turn over to Hosea. Try to really go through quickly with this here. The book of Hosea chapter 4. My people. In verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you will be no priest to me. Look at verse 4. Now let no man argue or contend with one another or rebuke one another, for my contention is with the priest. And of course, you know, for time's sake, we won't get into all of it. But in Jeremiah chapter 23, we see who Yahweh's contention is with, the priest of Baal, the priest of Jerusalem, the ones that became Pharisees, Sadducees, and now are called popes. They're the ones who are responsible for guiding society in a particular direction. And right now it's in a direction where there is total confusion and war, to where we see our children have been brought up where they have become oppressors. Now, we're going to turn this around. There's hope. It's not going to be that way forever. And very many, a great deal, I would say, of these children who are in these positions, to me, it kind of reminds me of like the great apostle Shaul, who Yahweh took this man who was once responsible for gathering up the saints and bringing them in for judgment. He turned them into one of the greatest workers, one of the greatest teachers of righteousness. You know, and what you saw, that example of that young man and that testimony there, this is what the laws of Yahweh and the peaceful solution and having a righteous teacher can do. Totally turn the hearts and the minds to righteousness. All right. Let me finish up here. Let's go over to 1 Jochanan. Well, write down for your notes 1 Jochanan 5:2, because it talks about what true love is and in developing this love for one another and developing the love for the laws of Yahweh. You know, if anybody's wondering how you can show love, as one of the speakers said in radio and TV land, it is through the keeping of the laws of Yahweh. Fulfillment of the and this, of course, is the fulfillment of the prophecy that Yahweh gave in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. But let me close here in Yochanan. Is that the one I want to, I'm sorry, Yeshua. Turn to Yeshua chapter 1. Time always seems to fly. I saw that they were developing a pill that they can give to inmates to extend their life in prison, so that their sentence could be longer. This is the love of mankind. What did I say? Oh, Yeshua. I'm sorry. This is the love of mankind. To make misery longer for another person. Quickly, in Yeshua chapter 1. Okay. And look at verse 5. It says, I got the wrong one. Well, that's all right. I'll have to get it to you later. I'm out of time. But you know, remember that Yahweh is with us in these things. You know, Yahweh is going to give us the land that has been promised to our forefathers, you know, that been promised to the great our father Abraham. And we're going to go into this land, which is not just a piece of ground, but it's this entire world. It's this entire universe. And we're going to take Yahweh's peaceful solution to it. And we're going to see a complete and total change to Yahweh from the worship of the gods. But we have to take it unto ourselves, like he said, and become teachers of this message of peace, following the one sent. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. Please bear with me. Listen attentively. I'm going to do my best to get through this. Satan's trying to keep this from coming out, but we're not going to let her have her way today. But may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Recently, I had the great privilege and opportunity of having a very wonderful conversation with Pastor about our children in the house of Yahweh, these beautiful children that are really, really making a huge impact on the people out there in the world. They're seeing our children, and they are marveling at the beautiful words that come of life that come forth from our wonderful children that have been trained for so many years by our pastor and all of you loyal, faithful members of the house of Yahweh. And Pastor, he said to me, and of course I said it with a lot more zeal than I'm saying it right now because I had my voice at that time, but it was very exciting because of the things that we were hearing about our children. And Pastor said, you know, this was what was spoken of in Yael chapter 2. And when he told me that, let's all turn over there, by the way. Let's turn to Yael chapter 2. I'll give you a page number as soon as I find it. When he told me that, you know, the way Pastor puts things, and when you talk to Pastor, he's always speaking the laws and the prophets. There's nothing that's coming forth from him that's not building up Yahweh's word, building up Yahweh's house, building up Yahweh's kingdom. He's never talking about foolishness. There's no foolishness coming forth from his lips. Now, in Yael chapter 2, in verse 28, this is a very familiar scripture. It will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit. Remember what spirit is, Yochanan 6:64. Spirit is the laws of Yahweh, the character that comes forth from keeping those laws. He says, afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, this all flesh doesn't mean every man, woman, and child in this world. Okay? This is talking about our children here in the house of Yahweh and the people in the house of Yahweh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Now, that word prophesy, actually, I looked it up just this morning. And it means, let's see if I can zoom in on it. It means to prophesy, that is, speak or sing, by the way, even sing, by inspiration or simple discourse, simply speaking what's inspired in the Holy Scriptures. To prophesy, make self a prophet. Now, remember, to speak by inspiration, to simply speak a simple discourse. If you could turn over real quick to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, found on page 939, another very familiar scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture that is given through inspiration of Yahweh is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So our young children are taking this instruction in righteousness that our pastor has put down in the Peaceful Solution program, and they're instructing others, and they're under that inspiration. They are prophesying. Now, go over also to Acts chapter 2, because Acts chapter 2 talks a little bit more about what we just read in Yael 2:28. I feel like I'm going to pass out because I'm trying to yell and I'm really not even talking that loud, I don't think. We'll have the guys on standby over here just in case. Let's see. Acts chapter 2, verse 28, where it reads, let me get my glasses. It says, actually, is it 2:16? I'm sorry. It says, let me start at verse 14. But Kepha, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, men of Yada and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. So give me your attention. For these are not drunk, as you assume, seeing it is only the third hour of the day, about 9 in the morning. But this is the beginning of that which was spoken by the prophet Yael, and it will come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Y'all remember this was the day of Pentecost where the disciples gathered together, and notice it says in verse 16, this is the beginning of that which is spoken. This is not fulfilling that which was spoken by Yael. This is just the beginning in that instance. Now we are seeing in these last days that we are in today, the fulfillment of these prophecies about our young children prophesying. Now, you know, Pastor said, the way he said it, it was just so simple. But it's like everything he says, it's so simple. You know, and he believes and these prophecies, and I told him, I remember telling him that, you know, Pastor, you know, you have to believe first. You know, Yahweh said, you're of quick understanding. He's like the first to do righteousness. And it's like to us, we're a little slower. I don't know about you all, but I'm a little slower. It takes me a little longer. But I read that same scripture. I've read these same prophecies, but I didn't. It's like you see him, but it's like you don't believe him like Pastor does. Until he explains them, and you're like, wow. You know, it's just so simple. But pastor, he has quick understanding. Like, turn over to Isaiah chapter 11 real quick. Isaiah chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 7. Verse 2. Isaiah 11 verse 2, found on page 537. It says, the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. Well, let's read verse 1. There will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yishai, and a branch will grow out of its roots. And now you remember Revelation 5:5, who the root is, okay? And a branch will grow out of his roots. That's our great pastor. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverence of Yahweh, which will make him of quick understanding, and his delight will be in the reverence of Yahweh. You know, I know many of you have been in his office, and you see all around him, he's just got a concordance here, a scripture book here. That's all this man's mind is immersed in, is these prophecies, these laws. That is all that is on his mind and coming forth from his mouth at all times. It's just amazing. He loves what he does, and Yahweh put that in him. He has that from Yahweh. That's his office. Now, I just remember telling him, well, you know, pastor, you know, you're of quick understanding and you believe these things. And just the way you explain them to us, it takes us a little longer. But also Isaiah also said something about that in Isaiah 44. If you turn over to Isaiah 44 on page 558 in verse 7, speaking of the witness Israel. And who as I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things which are coming and will come, let them, the two witnesses, foretell them. You know, pastor tells us first. It's like the donkey vision in the cloud that he saw. He had to see it first. He has to see these things first. He has to be the first to see these things. He has to be the first to see these things in the scripture and explain them to us. Okay, that's his office that he was given. Now, turn over, if you would, to Zechariah. Zechariah, we're still talking about our young children in the great house of Yahweh. Zechariah 4, and we're going to look at verse 10. It's found on page 718. Zechariah 4, verse 10. He says, for who has despised the day of small things? They will rejoice and will see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, and the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh will go throughout the whole earth. Well, we know Zerubbabel is our pastor, the one who opposes Babylon. But notice he says in that beginning, who has despised the day of small things? Now, I want to show you what that word small means. I could pull it up here. Just give me just a second. It says, this is the word small, it's word number 6996, and it says small, young, insignificant, unimportant. Notice that word young, the day of small things, the young. You know that a lot of them, you know, it's kind of like when you're teaching the peaceful solution out there and parents bring their children with them, and the children are always the first to raise their hand with an answer. And the parent's like, shut up, boy. Shut up. You're interrupting. Shh, be quiet. And you're like, I'm like, no, let them talk. You know, they always have the right answer, you know. And it's like we put them down and we think, well, you know, they don't, they're, you know, they'll learn all that when they go to kindergarten. They'll learn how to read when they go to kindergarten. Right now I'm going to sit them in front of the TV and he's going to watch SpongeBob, and he's going to develop SpongeBob encephalopathy of the brain, okay? And he's going to become goofy, and then he's going to start acting like he's got holes in his brain because I'm sitting him in front of this goofy television teaching him goofiness. And these children always come up with the right answers. The problem is we don't have, and it's not the parents' fault like the great Kahan just said before me. It's that they weren't trained in the importance of training our children in these things. Because if they would, it's like we tell everybody. They look at our children prophesying and they say, wow, you know. And I'm like, your children can do the same thing. It's the choices we're making. It's what we're putting in front of them. If you give them this information, They love it. They want to teach it. They want to do this. They want it. They want to learn the peaceful solution. So, the day of small things. Turn over to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. And it's found on page... found on page 935. 1 Timothy 4. We're going to be looking at verse 11. This is Shaul instructing the young man Timothy. And he says, command and teach these things. Let no man despise your youth. Let no man despise the small things. Your youth, like we just talked about, the young, okay? Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, okay? You know, let no man, we should not look upon our children and think that, well, no, they're less than us. These children, I got to tell you, the people out in the world are marveling and they love these children. They're listening to these children. You heard the testimony of the young lady at the city council meeting. She said, when those young people came and spoke to us, we all talked about it after they left. And we all agreed, if they're doing this and they're making a difference, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing something about this? You're hearing it from the children. Now, I want to read that same verse I just read you in 1 Timothy out of the New Living Bible, New Living Translation, 1 Timothy 4:12. You didn't bring your New Living Bible, so you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. I don't know if you have one, but we do. Okay, so 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. He says, don't let anyone think less of you. That's what that word despise means. Don't think less of the small things. Don't think less of the microorganisms that are crying out because of sin. It's like all these things that we think are so small. It's like the great apostle Shaul said, it's the base things. It's the things that are least, the despised things. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe I'm talking out of. That it's those things that Yahweh uses to complete his plan and to bring to nothing those that think they're high and mighty. Okay? And the children in the house of Yahweh are doing a wonderful job of bringing forth the words of life to the people, both adults and children. Yes, you can give our children a hand. They deserve it. I wanted to show you, last time I spoke, I talked about the city council and the impact that these young people had on the council member, the same council member that actually came against Judge Rosie and that was trying to eliminate people's right to vote. I told you that they promised at that meeting that they were going to work with us and that they were going to implement the peaceful solution at one of their new facilities. And right now, I'm going to find the pictures for you. Yesterday, at about 4 o'clock, they had the opening of the rec center that I told you. They were going to be opening a new rec center, and they asked that young lady, Mr. Vea, the council member in District 7, said, well, I'm going to be opening a new rec center, and I would like for you to come and teach the peaceful solution at my new rec center and use it as your tool. Well, yesterday they had that opening. I want to show you a few pictures. This was not a small thing. There was a lot of people at this event. As you can see, they even had their you know, their I guess that's some kind of marching band. And you can see a lot of people out there in the parking lot. Let's see if I can get some more pictures. Yes, even Homeland Security came to watch over the festivities and make sure that nobody got hurt, I guess. Here's a picture of some of the people coming into the door. As you can see, there's hordes of people outside. They're coming into this new facility for the first time. Here's Councilman Villa again promoting the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program with one of our young student promoters of the Peaceful Solution. And I'll have you know that the Peaceful Solution was the only organization invited to this opening to give out, as you can see, people taking the literature here. Here's some more, another picture of Councilman Vea and one of our young boys, and another promoter of the Peaceful Solution. And here's another picture of the circus going on out in the parking lot. Kind of looks like a circus tent, but actually it was a grand opening of this rec center. Now, that council meeting, remember, it was the children. Again, it was the children. It was the young people that made that huge impact on these council members. And they kept their word. I told you, the next day they called and they said, we're going to do this. We're going to start it at that rec center, and we're going to teach it in every rec center in town. And we're going to have the children do it. Now, I heard a yoo-hoo, but it's okay to clap, you know, when you want to, you know, especially when Yahweh's message of peace is going forward. Now, one more thing I got to bring to you. And I'm so glad that Yahweh, I'm thankful to Yahweh for allowing me to have my voice. I bet I'll step off here and I won't be able to talk for the rest of the day. But I got to show you one more thing. This made such a huge impact that even Judge Rosie, I had a meeting with her about a week ago. And of course, the first thing we talked about the council meeting and what went on there. And she goes, and she heard about the children and the big difference the children are making. And she said, we got to do that. We got to do that. We got to do that in my court. We've got to get the children in here. And we've got to teach the peaceful solution. She goes, we can use the lobby. We can use the main courtroom. We can put this thing out in press releases. We'll do press releases for a whole month on this event. We need to tell everyone what we're going to do. And we're going to have the children teach the parents. Now, what she came up with for the name of this conference is coming up, by the way, April 5th. I'll show you the press release here that she worked on with Pastor. By the way, every time I meet with Judge Rosie, she ain't just meeting with me. She's meeting with the Witness Israel via satellite or telephone or whatever you want to call it. She gets her inspiration from our teacher and these ideas. And she even used the word prophesy. She said, we want to hear the children prophesy. That's what she told Pastor on the phone. Okay? All right, now, I want to show you the press release. I want to show you the name of the actual event. It says, Judge Rosie Cuellar announces parent conference to strengthen parenting skills. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, Judge Rosie Cuellar teams with Peaceful Solution, Character Education Incorporated, to present a conference aimed at teaching positive parenting skills. Municipal Court Judge Rosie Cuellar has announced a new parent conference called Voice of the Children Parent Conference that will take place in Laredo on April 5th, 2014. The presenters at the conference will be young team members from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Parents at the conference will be given an interactive class that will include, I always forget these things, that will include how to build instruction on how to build positive parenting skills, but also tools the parents can leave with and implement immediately at home. In addition to the parenting classes, children will also have classes in separate area of the court building. So they're going to have, while the parents are in the courtroom being instructed by our children, the parenting program from the Peaceful Solution, the children that attend with their parents are going to be taught classes in the lobby by the children of the Peaceful Solution. And Judge Rosie has agreed to give every parent that comes, the children are going to be bringing their parents because the children are going to get community service hours knocked off their fines for bringing their parents with them. But the parent must stay at the conference. They cannot leave. They have to stay with their children. So that's how she's going to lure them in. This woman is incredible. It says the nonprofit organization says when the strategies they'll be teaching are implemented, families will see positive changes right away. The conference is scheduled for Saturday, April 5th, 2014, from 10 to 1 p.m. It will be held at Laredo Municipal Court, and it gives the address. Attendance for the conference is free, and everyone is welcome. And with that, I would like to encourage you to continue to build up our young people, continue to get your children to the classes. This is all prophesied, and it's being fulfilled at this time. And at this time, if you'd all please stand, I would like to turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Praise y'all. Everyone may be seated. I'm continuing along with a great team that Yahweh has established in these last days, and that includes everyone that's either watching via satellite, no matter where you're at, this great team that operates under the one leader, the one sent, who is our great teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, the things that are getting done, the things that people are doing and achieving who are outside of this work. And before we get started, I want to make sure to put in everyone's mind, do not forget to pray for those people who are assisting outside of this work, who are not involved in the house of y'all at this time. Pray for them. Pray for their protection. It is very, very important that we pray for their protection. Now, a lot of things taking place in the news this week, a lot of things with everybody's heard of Ukraine, and of course we have the airline that disappeared from Malaysia. There's the ongoing peace treaty that's forever ongoing, but everything that you see, they're always saying it's such a mystery that these things aren't working out. It's a mystery to why they can't come to an agreement. Why are these things falling apart? What occurred to this plane? What possibly could it have been? And there's got to be a scenario that the news has gotten right, because I've heard almost every one you could possibly have occur to a plane this week. And it has totally eaten up the news that is on TV at this time. But we also know there's, as pastors brought us before, there's many things taking place when you see these things that's not shown to us in our regular TV. But we are getting it from other sources. We are seeing it from other sources. Turn over to Revelations 18. And keep in mind that Revelation 17 talks about this mystery Babylon, this woman that sits on the seven hills, of course. And this is the Catholic Church that sits on these seven hills. And as 17:18 says, that the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, over the kings of the earth. Remember, also over this quartet. It's very interesting at this time that you have members of the quartet who are actually fighting with each other. They're actually fighting with each other, Russia being one, the United States being another, and they're both vying to win this backing from the EU, trying to bring sanctions onto Russia or not to bring sanctions onto Russia. And of course, you have the United Nations just standing by looking as peaceful as ever, as they always do. And of course, you always have these talk of sanctions. But remember what President Obama said just a few years ago, that these treaties and sanctions do not bring peace. So you know that they're blowing smoke when they say these sanctions will bring peace to this situation taking place. They've already acknowledged that these agreements are not going to bring peace, and they're not. And I think it truly is a mystery to them why they're not succeeding. Why they're not succeeding. In chapter 18 of Revelations, remember it says, "And after these things I saw Amalek come down from heaven, having great authority," spoke with authority. Just like, remember, Yahshua spoke with authority also. He spoke with this authority. "And the earth was enlightened with his glory." Yes, was enlightened. These things were shown. You could see why these things were not working. Someone was explaining them. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations," notice, "all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornications." They've been brought in through this drunkenness, through this, if it looks great, if it feels great, just do it. Enjoy life. Live it to the fullest. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do something. They don't want to have fun. Don't let them tell you that. That's what this woman is saying. And it's this drunkenness decision, these clouded thoughts that they're pushing forth. And of course it says, "For the kings of the earth, um, for they fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown riches through the abundance of her delicacies. This delicacies, these businesses, they're growing these holidays, this pastor has brought up for many years, generates revenue. The Pope, when he said that the Catholic Church, we can't approve of gay marriage, but civil unions now, that's something we can work with. You have to remember that the Pope is running a business. And his parishioners, those people who are Catholics, are his customers. Then he's trying to satisfy all of his customers, because if he loses them, they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to be somewhere else paying their tithe. They're giving their money. They could come to the house of Yahweh, and that's one thing he definitely doesn't want to do. So you're going to see the Pope bend greatly in every direction he can to support each and every person he can, and he doesn't care whether they live or die. He has no desire that they do live. In fact, he teaches death. He is the leader of death. He brings forth death through his speeches, through his conversations, through the things that he guides people in. He is a counselor of death. In verse 4 it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins and so that you do not receive of her plagues." Now, I want to refer everyone, write this sermon down and go back and reread this sermon. Pastor goes into great detail about what we're coming out of. In fact, Pastor says that we're to get away from them completely. Now, get away from them, their sins. The sermon was given on August the 4th of 2012. So it's in the 12th edition, part 2 of the book of Yisrael. Now, it's to get away from their sins. Remember, a little leaven leavens the whole batch. It will contaminate you. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that I can mix with them a little bit. I can do a little bit with them, and it won't rub off on me. No, not me. I'm too smart. I've been in the house of Yahweh for X amount of years, and I'm too smart. I can't fall for everything that Satan fell for, even though she's wiser than Daniel. Surely that can't mean me. No, it does mean each and every one of us. We're being warned by the most intelligent human being on the face of this earth, which is the seventh Malach, to not go partake of their sins. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9 on page 501. Proverbs chapter 9 on page 501. And we're going to start with verse 13. Verse 13. And it says, "Foolishness is like a clamorous, loud, and boisterous woman or man, these silly preachers that go out and teach their foolish doctrine. Of course, she or he is simple, ignorant, and knowing nothing." No, they know nothing when it comes to the knowledge of Yahweh. "For the wisdom of this world, remember, is foolishness to Yahweh. Now, she sits at the door of her house on a seat on the heights of a city, calling to those who pass by who are going about their business. Whoever is simple," and that means ignorant and untutored, "let him come here," she says to those who lack understanding, to those who do not receive the full knowledge of the truth, to those who will not study to show themselves approved. "Stolen water tastes sweet. Bread eaten in secret is delicious. But he does not understand that the dead are there, and that her guests are the depths of Sheol." Now, we see that in the world today. Many, many people flocking to the Catholic Church, flocking to these false religions, whether they be the Protestants, the Muslims, all of these having some form of righteousness, but they still are not the one who can bring the full knowledge of the truth. And there is death therein. Look over quickly to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 in verse 17. It says, "Do not allow your mind to envy sinners, but always be zealous for the reverence of Yahweh." Don't look at the things that people you may think they're benefiting from in these last days. It looks as though they're living life to the fullest. Look how much fun they're having. Look at the houses they live in, the cars they drive. Look at all the experiences they're having. Look at all the medications they're taking. Look at the STDs they're suffering from. Look at the families that are broken up. Look at the men that are losing their wives, the wives that are losing their husbands, the children that are losing their parents. Don't let this fictitious picture that's being painted by the Pope and all of his followers, don't let it deceive you. Don't let it pull you. Stand firm for those things which you know are right. There are people who are standing for these things. This work is going out. You know, I often think about the tree that Pastor said. This work is starting off as a small tree, and it's growing. It's growing slowly at first, but it's starting to pick up steam now. It's truly starting to pick up steam. Now, of course, I was thinking, and I really thought about how it said Pastor would be given to reproaches. And a lot of people would speak against him. They would come against him. And, of course, this tree is going to continue to grow. And then you realize in Oki terms, it kind of breaks down to the more manure they sling at this tree, the stronger it's going to become. The more, yeah, praise Yahweh. Now, this tree's not going to look back and say, please stop throwing it. They can continue to throw it because, as Pastor said, Yahweh is our deliverance. We're not going to fight these battles. Yahweh's going to fight them for us. And we're going to continue to move forward. Pastor said many times that as he was a young man, some of the things we see today was considered an abomination. It was truly frowned upon. In fact, they would tar and feather people for doing such things. The first clip I have for you, it's a very short clip. We've cut it down quite a bit. We're going to go ahead and play it. It is a 1950 awareness film that used to be shown in the schools. Now, as you watch this video, try to imagine what would take place if you showed this in schools today. If you could please play the clip.
That looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the homosexual is about. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal.
Now, that video actually lasts for about 12 minutes, and it shows different scenarios of how these people with this way of thinking were considered sick, and they were luring people into their way of life. They were actually coercing them in. Now, one of the things that I noticed in the film, even back in the 1950s, it says that they're mentally ill, and that's why they're a homosexual. Whether it be man or woman, it's still a homosexual. But that's not true. That's not true at all. We know that from the scriptures. This mental illness comes forth from the sin that's being committed. That's where you become mentally ill. You have to choose to take that path of life. And we're seeing more and more results come forth in these last days as this tree continues to grow, and it's growing immensely. I'm sure you heard some of the young men speak of other countries. Many people asking, what do we need to do to go out to teach this message? What we need to do is learn what to teach, then teach what we've been taught. That's what we need to do, because our goal is to direct them to here. Get used to teaching classes through a computer. Get used to teaching thousands of people through a computer. That's our goal. When we went to Argentina, we made contact and we told them we would like to continue classes with you through the internet. And that's our goal. We have right here, I see at least 500, 600, 700 teachers who can all teach this program. And this tree is growing. Everyone, hopefully I'll bring back to remembrance, if you read the newsletter that went out, and this was the January of 2013 newsletter that Pastor wrote, it said, the nations are repenting. And he was referring to President Museveni of Uganda, who had stood up and repented for all of the sins that the Ugandan citizens had committed. And he was openly stating how it was wrong and how that he was going to take a stance against it. And of course, Pastor wrote an open letter to him, and it started out from Pastor speaking. It says, "Dear President Museveni, I greatly rejoiced when I saw your humble repentance to the public. As you, see the harm in sin, for over 40 years I have been teaching that sin is the cause of today's problems, bar none. However, partial repentance doesn't help. That will not help you or your nation, nor will it be helped by the Creator by praying to gods or lords. The name of the Creator was hidden by the Catholic Church and the popes. If you have a King James Bible, you can see the changes they made in the inspired works of the prophets as early as Jeremiah's day." And of course, Pastor goes on to go into great detail about this information. Now, one thing many of you may not know, once this knowledge was brought before President Museveni, he actually spent a year. He assigned scientists to go forth to study and see, because he was of the mindset, maybe it is possible that people are born this way. They're born with this defect in their brain, and it's something that they just can't help. They just can't do it. Well, back in February of this year, the news articles were released, and there's many, many on the internet. This is coming from the Uganda's news source. It says, "Uganda's government recently defended its decision to push through tough anti-homosexuality laws, saying it was determined to protect the country's morals, even if that meant losing international aid." Those comments came after President Yoweri Museveni announced that he would sign into law a controversial bill that will see homosexuals jailed for life, despite warnings from key allies, including the United States. Now, this law also creates a national anti-pornography law. And, of course, it appoints a committee that will be responsible for the implementation by assuring early detection, collection, and destruction of pornographic materials. The committee, whose representatives will be drawn from various sectors, include the media, entertainment industries, and will also offer a rehabilitation service to victims. So they're looking to educate, and that's, remember, our job is to show them and to tell people. Education is the key. Jailing somebody doesn't fix problems. The United States has proven that 2.4 million times so far. It creates recidivism, with close to 7 out of every 10 men returning to prison. They get out and they go right back in. If you're doing a great job and you're being successful, your recidivism rate is not 7 in 10. Now, that goes on to say that this anti-pornography law has repealed and replaced Section 166, which, of course, was the original law there, widening the legal interpretation of pornography and prohibiting it comprehensively. Now, the Minister for Ethics and Integrity, Simon Lokodo, he was quoted as saying, now, this is his quote in response to what everyone is saying about this law being passed. He says that we shall not care losing the financial support from our partners if only we are left alone. In other words, keep your money, just leave us alone. That's what we're asking for. Saying that Ugandans would rather die poor than live in an immoral nation. So they would rather die poor than live in an immoral nation. I think each and every person sitting here today can relate to that. Absolutely. And remember, Yahweh called the poor. He didn't call those who were of great status. He's not seeking the rich. He's seeking those who are determined to overcome. Now, this is continued statements. It says, for donors to say they will not give us aid because of the anti-homosexuality bill and the anti-pornography law, that is blackmail and unacceptable. They can rather stay with their aid. If tomorrow the outside world says they are not coming to Uganda, let them remain where they are. We don't care. And that is their statement. Now, in pushing forth this, I want to go ahead and play this too. This is a short clip, and this is Simon Lokodo as he's making a comment, and we did cut it down quite a bit. Get used to listening very carefully to these people, because Africa is coming in abundance, and this is the way they talk. So listen very carefully and learn to interpret how they say it. They do speak very clear English once you get used to it. So if you could, we don't speak clear English, I don't know.
Dressing. Therefore, exposing certain parts of the anatomy of a person, all right? I call it pornographic. And therefore, condemned. So I don't like this question of saying human rights, maturity, etc. That is not correct. We are free in the limitations of not interfering with the freedom of others. Because when you go indecently on the streets of Kampala, you will become, what will you become? A cinema. That means there's something strange and out of place. That's why everybody is admiring and looking at you.
The ethics minister, Father Simon Lokodo, equates the miniskirt phenomenon to pornography. Well, I spoke to one lady and she says he will have to first work on the minds of a man in order to have this problem half solved.
Everything bad begins from the mind. So really, let him first work on the minds of men.
Say what you want to say, but we are coming up with the law that people should go back to their, you know, decent way of covering their bodies.
Backed by the Deputy Attorney General, Fred Ruhindi, the bill, if passed, will have those found guilty face a fine of 10 million shillings or 7 to 15 years behind bars.
Now, that's pretty steep in their money. That's very expensive. But if you notice, the woman said that we have to start with the mind. She's saying, she's actually challenging Simon Lokodo, saying that this law has some merit, but we're going about it the wrong way. She's actually saying we need to educate the people. We have to work on their minds first. And that's the citizens of Uganda. So Yahweh is opening these doors for us. He's opening these doors if we're willing to study what we've been shown, study to show ourselves approved, to learn what to teach, and then teach what we've been taught. And that's truly, if we follow the simple guidelines, the very simple guidelines that our pastor and teacher is giving us, we cannot go wrong. We cannot go wrong at all. Now, of course, President Museveni went on to have many different conversations as the year progressed, and he did achieve a team. He hired a team as a country. They hired a team of scientists to look into what was taking place with this homosexuality. And, of course, this open letter was written to him by Pastor. And there's some things that President Museveni says. He quotes Pastor word for word. And I'm convinced that morality only comes through the house of Yahweh. That's it. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Now, President Museveni went on, and this is some statements that were made concerning President Museveni and the signing of this bill. It said, President Museveni, once again, he was worried that these things could arrive from genetics. People could be born with the mindset to be homosexual. And this is why President Museveni, he refused to sign the bill. And this was last year. It was in December of 2012, January of 2013. And he referred it to the party known as the NRM to debate it again. And in the meantime, he sought for scientific opinions on the matter. President Museveni went on to say that he was grateful to Miss Carrie Kennedy of the United States of America, who sent him opinions by scientists from the United States, saying that there could be some indication that homosexuality could be congenital. And in a conference that they held, he said that he put these options to their scientists from the Department of Genetics, the School of Medicine, and the Ministry of Health. The unanimous conclusion was that homosexuality, contrary to President Museveni's earlier thinking, he says, was behavioral and not genetic. In fact, he was told, he says, he said that it was something that was learnt and could be unlearned. This is what the scientists reported back to President Museveni. He told them to put their signatures to that conclusion, which they did. And President Museveni went on to say, that is why I declared my intentions to sign the bill, which I do. I have now received their signed document, which says there is no single gene that has been traced to cause homosexuality. Rather, it being a choice. Now, President Museveni continued to say what he wanted them to clarify is whether a combination of genes can cause anybody to be a homosexual. Then his task would be finished for this issue. Now, you can imagine the ridicule that this man's receiving for standing against homosexuality, sodomy, Catholicism, whatever you want to call it. He's standing against it. Now, after the statement he made to the effect, President Obama actually made the statement to President Museveni. This is a statement President Obama had actually made. Let me find the statement really quick. According to a statement made by President Obama, it cannot be a matter of choice for a man to behave like a woman or vice versa. That's the argument I had pushed, was that there could be people who were born like that. Now, who they are. In other words, they're just born that way. A boy is born thinking he is a girl, and a girl is born thinking she is a guy. Well, President Museveni, this was the challenge he put forth to President Obama and any other country, actually, not just President Obama of the United States. President Museveni, therefore, he encouraged the U.S. government to help the Ugandan government by working with their scientists to study whether indeed there are people who are born homosexual. When that is proved, then we can review this legislation. In other words, President Museveni wants them to bring forth proof because he says his scientists have the proof it's not possible. And he's willing to challenge anyone who says other than that. Now, keep in mind, this democracy that we're seeing in this world today, of course, this democracy promotes freedom of religion, of course. Freedom of religion. Now, the religion that's being promoted in this freedom is the Catholic Church. That's what democracy is lifting up. It's definitely not lifting up the house of Yahweh because we're not a religion. We're a way of life. This freedom of religion doesn't give us freedom at all. In fact, it's give me the fun, don't confuse me with the facts kind of lifestyle we see today. Now, remember Catholic, it means universal, and it means that they worship any and every god. Remember when Moshe went into Egypt, the name of Yahweh was the only name that they did not see or know of. It was every other god that was on file and in their records, and they worship every god. They can implement any god into their way of life, and that's what makes them universal. Now, President Museveni, through all of the ridicule that he suffered, this is what the scientists returned to him, and this is what he based his decision on. It said, the study that consisted of numerous scientists concluded the following. There were six different things. One, there is no definite gene responsible for homosexuality. Two, homosexuality is not a disease, but merely an abnormal behavior which may be learned through experiences in life. Three, in society, there are a small number of people with homosexual tendencies. Number four, homosexuality can be, now catch this, this right here, anyone that studies the peaceful solution should be able to connect these dots perfectly. Homosexuality can be influenced by environmental factors such as culture, religion, and peer pressure, among others. So in other words, just homosexuality can be encouraged through your religion, through the culture you put yourself into, or by peer pressure, by those who are around you, those who are offering either positive or negative peer pressure. And of course, that would definitely be negative peer pressure to talk someone or to influence them into being homosexual. Five, the practice needs regulation like any other human behavior, especially to protect the vulnerable. In other words, this thing taking place, this homosexuality, it needs to be regulated to a extent. Now, they're saying incarceration. We know incarceration is not the answer, but education is the answer. We need to educate people, and this is what we have to be training for. Are we ready if Uganda's government was today say, we want you to start educating our citizens through the internet. We want you to teach them this proper morality. How many of us are ready to do so? You know, we need to prepare ourselves. I dare say there's a lot of people here who are ready to do it. And it's something we should desire to do. I wanted you to see a clip from President Museveni and how he reacts to this world. This is an interview that was done with CNN International. It's about 4 minutes long. Listen to the questions she asked, and then not only listen to the words he says, but watch his facial responses. Watch his body language. Remember, words are only 7%. There's one question. Watch the total disgust he has when she asks him this question. And imagine a lead. You would never see a politician in America answer the question this way. I respect this man. He's very straightforward, and I really do think he's reading the literature from the House of Yahweh. If we could go ahead and please play disc 7.
Many people, even if they may not be the majority, regard it as their right to have free choice in choosing who they love, who they want to have sex with, and don't believe that the state should get involved.
It's not the state, it's the society.
But you signed it into law.
Yes, but I'm acting on behalf of the society. I'm not, it's not just the state, it's the society. And that's why I would like to advise the Europeans and the Western groups that this is one area which is should be a no-go area, because if they want real confrontation with us, this is one area they are not going to make our people budge. Okay, they have told us, and we have told them, and they are the ones who provoked it in the first place.
But what about the equality of an individual, as the Western countries would argue, to have the right to choose what they want for themselves? That just by virtue of being a human being, they have certain human rights, and one of which is to express themselves freely in the way that they choose.
We cannot accept that behaving unnaturally is a human right. I was regarding it as an inborn problem.
Genetic link to homosexuality.
Genetic distortion. That was my argument. But now our scientists have knocked this one out. And once you argue that it is a question of choice, then really you have lost the argument as far as these Ugandans are concerned.
Do you think that by signing the bill, you're taking Uganda backwards?
Not at all. Not at all. Uganda is where it has always been. The Uganda have never supported our society since time immemorial. Have never supported homosexuals.
What is your message to Western human rights groups, to President Obama,
respect,
to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people?
Respect African societies and their values. If you don't agree, you just keep quiet. Let's manage our society the way we see. If we are wrong, we shall find out by ourselves. Just the way we don't interfere with yours.
Do you personally dislike homosexuals?
Of course, they are disgusting. What sort of people are they? How can you go? I never knew what they were doing. That's how I've been told recently that what they do is terrible, disgusting. But I was ready to ignore that if there was proof that's how he's born, abnormal. But now the proof is not there.
Is this about politics more than morality and religion or culture?
Not at all.
There are many critics that have said this is about 2016. This is about the elections, and the majority of people in this country support what you're doing. They support anti-gay legislation.
But why had I refused to sign it? Why had I refused to sign the bill if that was the case? I had refused to sign it because I wanted it, and I was not going to sign it. Maybe they would have changed it for me to sign it until I was confronted by the science, which I demanded from them. You show me whether
it's made you very popular, signing this bill, even more so than you are. There are people in this country that would vote for you because of what you did today.
Now, notice MPs she's saying will in Uganda, this has made him
because
popular.
Of what you did
that's
today.
Not
his
my intention. My intention was the truth, the facts, and what is good for our country, our society.
So once again, Crazy Allen. You know, I tried to find Ralph later on in years. You know, Ralph was sick. He was a homosexual in the video. I couldn't find Ralph, so I found someone else, and we thought we'd ask him what he thought of homosexuality. And, of course, he gives it an all thumbs up. So it's obvious that this man will not be helping us in pushing forth any kind of moral character education. We would like for him to. We sure would offer it to him if he would like to come learn moral character education. If he could humble himself, we sure would. Absolutely. Keep in mind, I hope everyone sees. I want to read to you, as I was gathering all these things about President Museveni, and we've been working on it for a while. A huge team has been working on this. I got an alert on my phone, and it was an article the course pastor had put out. He had just written a letter. And the headline on it was, A lack of understanding the Bible is what's contributing to today's woes, says Ezra Hawkins. And it said, the House of Yahweh published a new article explaining how scriptural illiteracy is now allowing scriptural curses. Now, this it gives you a link where you can go to www.yahwehsbranch.com for a 16-page letter. This is one thing we all need to understand. If we want to learn how to explain to people how these curses are coming through a lack of education, you don't need to grab your book of Yahweh and start studying. You don't need to go grab a concordance to start studying. You need to grab these newsletters. You need to grab the books of Yisrael and put them in your book of Yahweh. And that's how you can teach just like the one sent. That's how we can all teach just like the one sent. He and the team that he has established has already done the work for us. The work is there. We just have to absorb it in. Please keep these men in prayers. President Museveni, all of these people that are standing for moral character, don't forget them. We need to prepare. We need to prepare to teach the billions that are soon to come in and do our jobs in proving ourselves worthy to be part of this priesthood. May Yahweh bless all of your understanding. We'd now like to turn it over to the great priest for closing prayer.